much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
From Korea, Chicago, London, and Keokuk, the latest news from all parts of the world with complete reports on the top developments of the day.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
People should go to soup plantations. Pretty healthy. A lot of vegetables. A lot of tomatoes, mushrooms, onions, and raw vegetables. And it can help someone lose weight. It's definitely good. It can help people not to be too stuffed. Much better than hamburgers. And also, it can help people to have a longer lifespan.
And now.
And if we put some haters on blast along the way, well, that's just how it is now in Obama's America. Let's go.
Our feature presentation.
We need more wisdom from Doto.
I agree.
I feel like we're not getting enough of that.
If Doto had a podcast, I would listen to nothing else.
It'd be so great.
I love him. I miss him. And we do try, folks, for people who wonder, people who love Doto like we do. It's not like we don't say to the King of Mexico every week, hey, what's going on with Doe? And it's always, he's Malaysia, Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, well, it's weird because
he's China. He's Japan.
It's weird because we'll ask him point blank, hey, we want to put you on the show maybe tomorrow. Where will you be? Where can we reach you? What phone number? And then he'll write back, I'm Malaysia, Kevin and Bean. And we go, well, okay, but do they not have phones there? Or?
He refuses to speak with us.
Right.
Unless he's in America. I don't know why that is.
But he wants to make it in showbiz.
I do sense that.
So we felt like that. For a long time, we felt like maybe that was an advantage for us. Mm-hmm. If he wants to be in showbiz, maybe he would come on.
But sure.
No.
I don't think he cares for us as much as we care for him.
Oh, that's obvious.
I think this is a one-sided relationship, basically. He indulges us.
Yeah.
He's like the spouse who occasionally will give it up because he has to. It's your birthday or something. That's when you get sex.
Right, but not happy about it.
Either begrudgingly does it because he or she has to.
Exactly. Right.
That's what Doe's like. Well, it's an all-new Kevin and Bean show this time for a Thursday. Here's a story in our You're Doing It Wrong department. This is a story out of Seattle, the Mount Baker neighborhood. There's a guy who keeps going to the Seattle Police Department, Kevin, because somebody keeps mailing him pot, and he wants it to stop.
What the... What?
He has no idea who or why.
Who cares who or why?
He arrived at the Seattle Police Department's East Precinct again on Monday night, reporting that an unknown person keeps sending him packages of marijuana in the mail. The man reported that about a month earlier, a package was left at his front door labeled return to sender, insufficient postage. The return address matched his address, but he had not sent any package. He opened it and found marijuana inside and tossed it. A similar package arrived at his doorstep Monday, he said. Officers opened the package, found it had an ounce of pot wrapped in plastic. They sent it to the evidence unit for destruction. Apparently, although...
That hurts too, by the way.
Yeah. Of course, you know, Washington is one of the states where it is legal to use pot for private use, but it's still a federal crime to send it through the mail, which I guess I did not realize.
Ah.
But this has happened three times to him now, where... Marijuana has showed up unsolicited on his doorstep, and he just has had enough of it.
I gotta move.
Doesn't it just seem like there would be something else you could do with it rather than go crying to the police?
Well, I guess unless he thinks he's being set up or something, but I mean, I got a lot of friends that would, if I didn't want it, would take it off my hands.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess we have seen movies where they do plant evidence on people and make it look like they got something delivered or whatever. Maybe that's what it is. But it just, I would look at it and I would go, well, this is legal. This pot is legal.
Right.
So I'm just going to, you know, give it away or whatever.
And I didn't send it through the mail. It just showed up.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
anyway, weird story.
Yeah.
That's the kind of problem most of us aren't dealing with today.
No kidding. I wish I was. That'd be awesome. I need his address. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
What little I can hear of that is horrible.
We have Chris Maloney in studio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Talking about Surviving Jack.
Yep.
New TV show looks good. Dr. Drew's on the program today. We have Karen Gillan on the show. She's in the studio talking about Oculus. And I got to be honest, we have to watch Ralph on that one.
Yeah. He's a little too excited.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who, right.
Yeah, right.
And,
she's adorable, though.
Yeah.
I get his excitement over her, but
I think, We have to be careful. That's all I'm saying.
We do. I do think there needs to be some sort of a radius enforced. He's not allowed to go within. You know, let's pick a number of feet.
Okay. All right. Our own restraining order for our own people.
A little bit.
All right. William H. Macy will be on the show today. Talking about Shameless.
Love Shameless.
Love William H. Macy
as well. Love William H. Macy.
Everything he does, he's great in.
Yeah.
So we'll tell you about that. Reese Darby, comedian, will be in the studio.
Awesome.
I love Reese.
And we have your tickets for April Foolishness in the party bus section. That's coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning. And don't forget, every day between now and Coachella, we give you tickets at 9 a.m. and at 5 p.m. Those are three-day passes. So that's coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 5:53.
Thursday morning, it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the show. What's going on, Ralph Garman?
Bean, I have another home for you to add to your collection of homes.
Oh, excellent.
Bean's rocking around four or five houses right now, and I think it's time to add another one because we know how he loves the serial killers.
Yeah, he does.
Jeffrey Dahmer's house is up for grabs.
Bean, the, you'd love that, wouldn't you?
The apartment? The apartment where he killed all the kids?
No, come on.
Oh.
His family home in Bath, Ohio, the first murder house.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
Where the first of his 17 victims was killed in 1978, an 18-year-old hitchhiker named Stephen Hicks was hitchhiking to a rock concert, and Jeffrey managed to lure him into the house and killed him with a dumbbell.
So good.
So he's ready to move in. He's got a dumbbell by the door, and he's good to go.
This house has been on and off the market for a long time, and we actually, did we talk to
They won't take your offer?
No, we talked. I thought we even talked to somebody who might have represent the house or something. Kevin, remember we did a whole call-in topic with whether you would buy a house like that that had that kind of bad juju if it was cheap enough. You know,
yeah.
We did that whole thing. I think that's a deal breaker for a lot of people. They maybe don't want to live in that house.
Pizza first.
It's priced to go at a mere $295,000.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm avoiding
Bean's
that.
He's got that in his left shoe in his closet.
I think I'm avoiding that house. I think...
good. Makes less bidding for Bean.
There's probably nothing wrong with it, but there are a lot of other houses, so...
Nothing wrong with it. Something's right with it. If you're the right person.
I'm not eager to move to Ohio, but thank you for thinking of me, Ralph.
Well, you can just put it on the list.
Just have it shipped out to wherever you are.
When you're traveling around. Speaking of Bean, Maria Menounos is done with Extra.
Oh.
She'll be leaving that show. She says she's really looking forward to her reality show, Chasing Maria Menounos. Well, we all are. Who doesn't want to see that?
It's all the buzz.
That sounds awesome. I don't even know what it is, but I...
Yeah, what does that mean?
Great.
Well, chasing her.
I don't know. I'm sure she'll have to travel around the world and we'll have to chase her.
She actively trying to get away from cameras? Or
I don't understand.
I think she is. See if you can ditch us. Go.
There's going to be a crack team of SEALs who are going to be after her with a camera or the GoPro and see if they can hunt her down. Chasing Maria Menounos. Who's chasing you? Except for Bean. Until he gets in that house in Bath, Ohio.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing a dumbbell.
It's all coming together.
Here's a reality show I am looking forward to, however. Steve Buscemi's doing a series for America Online. They're doing a lot of original programming over there. They did Fatherhood with Hank Azaria, which I love. And now they're doing something called Park Bench. It's an unscripted series filmed in New York City where Steve will talk to various people in New York about everything from pop culture to current events. Just him and a guest sitting on a park bench having a conversation.
I like it.
Really? You like it?
Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
Well, I am a fan of the art of conversation. You know, if you have interesting people talking about things, that can be great.
No, it's not loud. What a loud conversation. How about firecracker bench?
There you go. Now we're getting somewhere.
My only concern, Ralph, is we already are overwhelmed by the hundreds of TV channels, and now we're starting to develop hundreds of internet channels, too, and it's going to become impossible to just keep up.
Well, you don't have to... watch everything.
Yes, he does.
No, you don't. You don't have to watch everything.
Pick and choose. You can just watch a little of this, a little of
that.
But
we're at the point now where you can't even watch all the stuff that's really good.
Bean is a fan of the art of conversation. That's what I know.
Well, we've all been witness to that, haven't we?
Bean's really busy.
He's got a lot of issues.
I sure have a lot of jingles, I'll tell you that.
Pizza first.
Sure, Jimmy Kimmel may have had former President William Jefferson Clinton on his show last night.
Bean's got to know.
No.
But.
Yes.
But what about the sitting powers that be? What about the president and the
Obama?
Vice president? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Rachel Ray kicks Jimmy Kimmel's ass. She had Vice President Joe Biden on her show. And we found out some very interesting information, I think, that we can all use as Americans. Rachel Ray was talking to Joe Biden, and the conversation went thusly, and I'm not kidding you, this happened.
Okay.
Rachel Ray, you have the most glowing, perfect skin of any person I've ever seen. I really want to know what moisturizer you use. I love moisturizers. Vice President.
That's what she was thinking
Joe
before
Biden.
She asked the question?
No, this was the question. On Jill's instruction, that's his wife, about 5 years ago, she said I should use Clinique. And there's a men's Clinique that has an SPF of 20. She was worried about my face, so I do whatever Jill tells me. So there you have it, America. The vice president uses a Clinique moisturizer for his fresh, dewy skin.
She didn't waste that opportunity.
She did not waste that interview whatsoever. I love moisturizers, she said. Who loves moisturizers?
I don't know.
Rachel That's Ray.
A strange thing to like.
I guess. And it's official. Matt Lauer and Al Roker have filmed their cameo for Sharknado 2. They will be in Sharknado 2, yes.
When does that come out?
It will be on Wednesday, July the 30th on the Sci-Fi Network. That's when that debuts.
It's Al Roker's line.
I pooped my pants.
Yeah, he saw Sharknado. He pooped his pants. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't?
Right.
You can hardly blame the guy. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Singer Tony Orlando celebrates his 70th birthday today.
Boo.
For those of you who don't know, Kevin and Bean haven't always been the finely honed, multi-talented broadcasters they are today. Back when they were struggling in the early days of this program, they would just throw things against the wall, and anything that would stick, they would put on the air. And there was a little-known...
Do we have to?
Little known event, holiday, somewhere in one of the Dakotas called Schmeckfest. And I'm still not really sure what Schmeckfest ever was, but Kevin and Bean seemed to love Schmeckfest.
It's a German food festival in Freeman, South Dakota, Ralph.
And they were excited about it. They were going there to broadcast live Schmeckfest.
Yeah.
And so they enlisted the aid of legendary singer Tony Orlando to sing the theme song to their Schmeckfest tribute.
I don't even know why we would have Tony Orlando in.
I can't imagine either why.
B, do a live theme song for this ridiculous.
Or do a week of shows from Schmeckfest.
I don't think it was a week, was it?
I think it was just a Friday. I think we just did a day or maybe
having
two.
Having said that, it was way too long.
I'm sorry. Or do a day of shows from Schmeckfest.
And by the way, Kevin didn't go. I went.
Well,
he went by himself.
Makes perfect sense.
Isn't it funny? He's the last person to want to travel, but if it's Schmeckfest, he's in.
Well, if I get a chance to go to South Dakota on the company's dime, I'm going to take advantage of that.
Who loves beer and drinking beer
That's
more than
right.
Bean? He's
That's
such
right.
a beer aficionado, as he would say. Here's the legendary theme Schmeckfest featuring...
Gather around, boys and girls, and listen. You know that Schmeckfest is a special time each year.
That was Tony
Kevin
Orlando.
And Bean will be in Freeman, South Dakota to meet those East German chicks and drink some beer. There'll be lots of screaming men and women and children. There will be sauerkraut and knockers. Did we mention beer?
Whoa, baby!
Thank you, our special new friend, Tony Orlando.
No problem.
For helping K-Rock celebrate Schmeckfest this year.
Schmeckfest!
You think he went home and seriously considered ending it all?
Click, just putting a revolver to his head.
What am I doing with my life?
I had 8 top 10 singles throughout the 70s. Yep. Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Sure.
Knock 3 times.
Yeah.
Now I'm singing freaking Schmeckfest.
What am I doing?
For these 2 chuckleheads. Tony Orlando celebrates his 70th birthday today. He and did not end. Mick Martin, Motley Crue, 58. Mike Ness of Social D, 52 years old today. Sebastian Bach of Skid Row is 46. Jenny Garth from 90210 is 42. Actor Adam Scott turns 41. Kobe Smulders is 32 years old today. Leona Lewis celebrates her 29th birthday. And Amanda Bynes is a healthy, sane 28 today.
How about that?
How about that? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We'll talk to William H. Macy from the TV show Shameless coming up in about 15 minutes. Also, comedian actor Rhys Darby on the program today. Christopher Maloney, Karen Gillan. My gosh, Dr. Drew Pinsky. A lot of shows still coming up here on K-Rock.
Jimmy Kimmel had Bill Clinton on last night.
Wow.
How about that?
That's impressive.
Former President Bill Clinton. And there's
Oh, that Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
Okay. I felt it needed to be clarified, dude. Is that a problem?
No, nope. I'm with it.
So he's talking to him about a bunch of different things. We were talking yesterday about where do you start? You know,
he's a
former president. I mean, there's so many questions about
this. He's held the most fascinating job in the world, and I have 1,000 questions, none of which I would be brave enough to ask if I were actually sitting across from the man.
Would you have brought up cheese?
I don't know that cheese would have been on my list, but I guess Jimmy did.
He did, yeah. We have former President Bill Clinton on the phone now, actually.
Oh.
Mr. Clinton.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We are good. Thanks for joining us today. You were very good last night on Jimmy.
I had a real good time with Jimmy last night. We really enjoyed ourselves, I think.
I'm not sure he even votes, by the way. Do you know that? I don't think Jimmy votes.
Well, I'm not running for anything, yeah. So that's okay.
You're sad, okay.
Like he could be president again. But you are vegan, and Jimmy did an event with you where it included pizza, and you couldn't eat the cheese. And Jimmy wanted to know about that, which, now again, I'm not sure that makes the list, but if you're Jimmy Kimmel, it does.
Do you miss having cheese?
Yeah, one of the few things I miss about this diet is I loved hard cheese. I like, you know, hard cheddar cheese and Swiss cheese, and I miss that.
Which do you miss more, being president or cheese?
Well, I like being president more than I like cheese.
Yeah, interesting.
All right. I guess that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, when I was president, I could have all the cheese I wanted to.
Right.
So one goes hand in hand, really.
I see.
But I do like hard cheese.
Uh-huh.
Hard. I just like being hard.
Right. Hard cheese.
Anything
cheese.
Hard. Right. I like hard.
Right.
Hard.
Did did Hillary take that cheese away from you? Because she seems like she'd be no fun.
Actually, no. Chelsea was the one who talked to me about my diet when I was having, you know, those heart problems, and I put on a bunch of weight, and she recommended that I look into the vegetarian, vegan lifestyle, and so she got me going with the, you know, not eating meat and cheese and things like that, and I feel great, but I'm just miserable.
Wait, why are you miserable?
'Cause I miss cheese.
Oh, yeah, I don't blame you.
That much, all right. Jimmy was then obsessed with aliens, and I think Bean's probably on the exact same page.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, Area
51. Tell us what you know, right?
Area 51. How long did it take you to get into figuring out what's going on? Here's the clip.
If I was president, and I won't be, let's be honest, the first thing I would do after putting my hand on that Bible and taking that oath to serve the country is I wouldn't even probably finish the oath. I would run to the White House. I demand to see all the classified files on the UFOs. Did you do that?
Sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah, we had I think it was at the beginning of my second term, we had the anniversary of Roswell.
You waited that long?
I did.
Wow.
Well, I didn't. And then there's also Area 51. You remember there was a great sci-fi movie where there was an alien kept deep under the ground in Area 51? So first I had people go look at the records on Area 51 to make sure there was no alien down there. And people thought that because everybody who works there has to stop about an hour away and put on special clothing and then drive in and out. And that's because a lot of our stealth technology is made there. We know that now, but there are no aliens there.
If you saw that there were aliens there, would you tell us?
Yeah.
You would.
All right.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
All right, but I think Jimmy was shocked by the fact. Hello?
What just happened there?
I don't know.
That's weird. It sounded like we were dialing out all of a sudden. We lost the president.
I think he probably thought we were just playing the entire Jimmy Kimmel show and that he wasn't needed anymore.
Wouldn't you imagine that any president gets asked about aliens all the time? Don't you think that is one of the things that we're all convinced they have answers to in the White House and they're just not sharing with
the public? Their friends have to take them aside as soon as they get
absolutely.
In there.
Absolutely.
Like,
so
right, just tell me because
but
I won't tell
he
anyone.
He didn't for 4 years, he told Jimmy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mr. President, you back?
I'm right here. Yeah.
Okay, good. So you took 4 years before you finally decided to get to the bottom of that whole thing.
I got around to it, yeah.
Right.
Beginning of my second term.
But Jimmy was talking about if he took the oath, he would run from the oath. and go figure out the whole thing about aliens.
Well, you know, the thing about being president is, especially my first 4 years, is that there are real things you have to worry about.
Right.
So I figured the pretend things could wait 4 years. Like war and economy and health and education.
None of that is
up a lot of time.
None of that is more important than aliens, I don't
think. Well, actually, I think some people might beg to differ.
I see. Okay.
But it was great to find out Area 51 didn't have any aliens inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Area 51 became a great place because of security to hide all the hookers and blow.
Oh.
So I'd have the hookers show up and put on special clothes before they drive into work. And
I see.
I'd eat hard cheese off their asses.
And that's
it was good times being president.
Oh, it sounds like it. Yeah. Sounds like it. So, so no aliens. I guess that's sort of a bummer for everybody that believes that there is. Or, you know, people think that you would lie, even though you said you would tell us.
I would tell you if there were aliens, yeah. I promise. Yeah.
Okay. What else is going on there? Anything else that we need to know about, or just the stealth technology?
Pretty much what I said earlier about the hookers and the blow.
Hookers and blow. All right.
Already did that joke pretty much.
All right. So asked and answered, Mr. President?
Pretty much.
Where did you keep your hookers?
Got anything else? Got other clips to play? Or you're pretty much done.
If
I was president now, I'd have you killed.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame you.
Me too. Hey, with all the great stuff going on today's Kevin and Bean show, I think we've barely mentioned we're going to hook you up in the party bus section of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. That's going to be this Saturday at the Shrine Auditorium. Jim Jefferies, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Doug Benson, Eddie F., Taylor Williamson. Those were the comedians on the bill. Unfortunately, our friend Mark Maron had a scheduling conflict and had to cancel.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed.
Bummer. We were looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But we are delighted to say that we have an awesome replacement for you. If you're coming to April Foolishness on Saturday night, how about the great Reggie Watts joining us?
Yeah!
That's great.
He's crazy. Cool.
Yeah. He is crazy and he is awesome. He is a musician turned comedian who uses a lot of music in his act, and he's so funny. You've seen him on a million shows. Unfortunately, Kevin, you will no longer have the best afro in the building on Saturday night, because when Reggie shows up, he wins. He's king of the afros. But that is the substitution. Hopefully, we'll be able to reschedule Mark Maron for another year. But still a great lineup, and we'll have those tickets you can win coming up later this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. All right, it's 6:40 now. We're so delighted to welcome William H. Macy back to the program. He's one of our all-time favorites. This guy just does it all. He's got a long, distinguished stage career, Oscar-nominated, great movie career, been nominated for like 10 Emmys or something like that, and you see him every Sunday night on Showtime on Shameless, which has its season finale this weekend. Let's welcome the great William H. Macy back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bill.
Hello, folks. How are you?
Very good.
Nice to talk to.
Yes. It has been a while, and we miss you. How you been?
Excellent. I've had a full year. I directed a movie in the hiatus called Rudderless. That was a first for me. I've never directed a feature before. We had a great season on Shameless. I was sick the entire time. I wasn't, but my character was.
You look terrible.
Your character has never looked good, though. I mean, this is not...
No, this is so much worse.
This is not one of those TV shows where you go, yeah, I'm looking good in this role.
Well, a couple of times I had my moments, but this season, it's pretty bad. I went on a strict diet, and I started losing weight from the very beginning. So by the end of the thing, I look like death warmed over.
Yeah. And how did you feel, by the way, when you're not working? Did you feel miserable because you were so thin?
Well, I turned into a girl. No offense, but dieting does things to you. I mean, all I could think about was food. My wife, I said, I'm going to go to bed. She said, why? And I said, because all I can think about is eating. She said, oh, honey, you've turned into a girl. That's what my life is. But interestingly, I would spend all day doing this role. I would be in bed all day, show after show after show, and pretending that my stomach hurt. And the next thing you know, my kidneys were killing in me, and my stomach did hurt.
Wow.
Yeah,
powerful.
It was not a fun season, although it looks kind of stunning.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this about Frank Gallagher, the character you play on Shameless, Bill, and that is it difficult for an actor to play a character that is so unlikable, or are you able to find something in that character that makes you enjoy being that person?
Well, that's my job, isn't it? And I do enjoy it. You know, you can say a lot of things about my character, Frank Gallagher, but this is what I say about him. He's got a wicked sense of humor. He's smart as a whip. He is very hardworking and industrious. He sees the irony in life. He's the life of the party. If you had to spend a couple hours in a bar, who would you want to spend it with? Frank Gallagher, who's more fun than him.
Well, no, you'd have to buy, though.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm going with Emmy Rossum on that one.
No, I spent a couple of hours in a bar.
Oh, okay.
Do you think that he really loves his kids, even though he's seemingly sometimes so oblivious and even neglectful?
I think somewhere deep down inside there's something there. But, you know, he's an addict, and he's a drunk. So that's the mistress. That's the thing he really loves. And what I love about Frank is that he knows this. He's pretty self-aware. I think if someone were to say, Frank, don't you realize you're killing yourself? He'd say, what do you think, I'm an idiot? Of course I'm killing myself.
Of course I know that.
Now, I know this.
The season finale is coming on this coming Sunday, and Frank does not change his stripes. He's going to live his life the way he wants to live it, and there's something grand in that.
Sunday at 9 on Showtime.
Yeah. I know that this is, I'm sure, a decision that you had no part in, but I wanted to get your reaction to the fact that Shameless is now going to be shown as a comedy in terms of admitting it for awards and things like that. They're changing the category from drama to comedy.
Which is very unusual.
It is unusual.
It was a big mistake from the very beginning. We are definitely a comedy and not a drama. So this is yet a second category that we won't be nominated in.
Yes, exactly. That's beautiful. No, but let me ask you about that, because it really is, it is a dramedy. At times it's a bummer because it's pretty dark.
Yeah.
And yet it's in the comedy category, and you say it's always been a comedy, and there's always been comedic elements, but has it always really been a comedy?
Well, I think the whole Emmy thing is a little bit behind. For my money, I don't want to see a pure comedy or a pure drama as much as I want to see a dramedy. It's an old Mike Nichols rule. If you want to get people crying, make them laugh first. If you want them to laugh, make them cry first. I like to mix it up. That's what I like to watch on TV.
And especially a show like yours that is rooted in the reality of the Gallagher family, that's what real life is like, is there are times when things are bad, there are times when things are hilarious.
That's right. And it seems to me the way you measure the strength of a family is how much they can laugh in the face of disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent point. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking to William H. Macy. He is, of course, the actor on Shameless, Sunday nights at 9 on Showtime. Season finale is this Sunday. Season 5 returns in 2015. Hey, you mentioned the movie Rudderless that you directed. I'm sure you've had lots of opportunities to direct in the decades of your long storied career. Mr. Macy, why this one?
Well, no, I haven't had that many. It's really hard to find a directing gig. People get very nervous before they write million-dollar checks, I've discovered.
But you're William H. Macy.
Right. I would think they would let you do whatever you wanted.
Yeah, well, there was a guy named Bernie Madoff, too.
Well.
So you never know.
So how do you think you did now that you've survived directing Rudderless? You think you were good at it?
Yeah, man, I love it. That's all I want to do from now on. We did very well at Sundance. We were the closing night film, and Paramount just bought the film, so it's actually going to be in theaters. It's just the Cinderella story. It's a tiny little movie, and you'll actually be able to watch it in a theater.
It seems like you have more say over the movie if you're the director, but also a lot more headaches. What do you love so much about directing?
You're not wrong. It's less about making art, and it's more like getting hit by a train and dragged for 25 days.
Well, that sounds great. I can see why you love it. It does sound like fun.
It's a stunning amount of work and responsibility. But I'm trying to find the things that I love about getting older, which I am. And one of them is I was ready for this.
Yeah.
I was ready for this, even though I hadn't directed before. I've been around the block enough times that I was ready for this, and I love telling the story. I've always thought of myself as something of a raconteur, and I love being in charge. And I love actors. I married one, so it's swell to hang out all day with actors and watch them do things. I'll tell you one thing I learned. Actors are nutty as the day is long.
Would you put yourself in that same category?
I know. I kept thinking, am I this crazy? Well, I had a dream cast. A dream cast. These people would have thrown themselves off the roof if I'd asked them to.
Wow.
But watching their process, What an odd group of
just like, what a bunch of crazy people.
That is so funny to hear you say that. Hey, listen, before we let you go, and again, it's always a thrill whenever we get a chance to talk to you, Mr. Macy. We really appreciate your time. But I was just curious, and forgive me if I'm asking a question about a sore spot, but do you have any level of interest at all in seeing the TV adaptation of the film Fargo that's getting ready to debut here?
Well, I can't wait to see it. I don't know where they're going to go, but I do love that part of the country. I did a season up at the Guthrie Theater, and I just fell in love with those people. And it's not just because they talk funny. It's a really particular part of the country with a particular point of view. I think it might be really fun to watch.
I'm very encouraged by it just because I love Martin Freeman so much and Billy Bob Thornton, and they both seem like they'd be perfect for this kind of role. So I'm excited about it as well. So, good times. Well, we know you're up against the clock here, but thank you so much for the time. Sunday night at 9, it's the season finale of season 4 of Shameless, a terrific show you should definitely be watching. If you haven't yet, you can catch up from the beginning. It's available everywhere. Thanks, Bill. Great to have you on the show again, sir.
Thank you, folks. Always nice to talk to you.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 6:53.
Hey, Rhys Darby's here, by the way. He's going to be joining us right after the top of the hour on K-Rock. I love him. I love him.
I love him as well. Okay, what do you want us to say to that?
I'm just excited. That's all.
All right. Great.
Ralph is here now. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin Amin Show. What's going on, dude?
Well, the breakup moon is over.
The breakup moon is all over.
The consciously uncoupling couple of Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin have returned from their island hideaway in the Bahamas where they were vacationing during their breakup moon while they were splitting up.
Right.
You know, because they're better than you. They go on a vacation as they're separating.
Well, because that's how well they're getting along, is they can still vacation together even though they're divorcing.
That's right. They're back, and now the two apparently will go their consciously separate ways. Chris will be on the road promoting Coldplay's new album, Ghost Stories. He's also said to be a presenter at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next week. He'll be inducting Peter Gabriel. So now that it's all settled, what really broke up the couple? Well, if you believe Us Weekly magazine, the two of them fought over everything you could fight over. how to parent their kids. They couldn't agree on which city to live in, for example. But the biggest one... And I can so see this being the case.
Her stupid website?
Well, that, too. Oh.
Their diet?
Gwyneth's strict diet rules.
Oh.
Sources close to the couple say Gwyneth would frequently and in front of other people mock Chris's eating habits, making fun of him and belittling him for his dietary choices. Can you imagine living with that?
No.
I just feel like even if you eat wildly different menus, you have to go, hey, you're an adult and that's your choice, and I'm an adult and this is my choice, so we can peacefully coexist without trying to get the other one to eat like I do.
Or shut up.
Yeah, or one or the other.
That's the other
way. Not to say anything.
Not to say anything.
Yeah. I feel like this is what it sounded like.
Eat it.
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 That's not a fun dinner.
No.
No one's having fun there.
She's got a plate of kale in front of his face. She's pushing into his face like Jimmy Cagney and that grapefruit. That's just a nightmare. So good for Chris. He's free now to do whatever the hell he likes. And I bet he's enjoying himself.
Sure.
This is a book I would read. Red Hot Chili Peppers bassist Flea is writing his memoirs.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. This would be an interesting story.
Yeah.
The book will focus on Flea's teen years on the streets of L.A., where he met Anthony Kiedis, and eventually the two of them put together a band. No release date for the book yet, but apparently Flea is hard at work. That'd be cool to read.
Yeah, no! I hate books!
You have to wonder what goes on between some of those band members. It just seems like it's so fascinating.
Even for celebrities or bands or what have you that I don't really care about that much, I'm always fascinated by origin stories.
Sure.
How the kind of things got put together and what led to what and what series of events put their future in action. So,
and how do you get along under all that pressure for so long?
Yeah, I'm always fascinated by true life sort of success stories about how people get to wherever they're ending up. And certainly,
but reading is still for losers, though, right?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Oh, that's yes.
That's what I always heard.
That is true.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I love that damn movie.
Me too.
Well, Deadline reports that we're finally going to get a sequel. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2, The Green Destiny.
Yeah. Wasn't that 20 years ago?
How dare you?
Ish.
Ish. So,
Sometimes, you know, it's like a fine wine, man. You don't just drink it right out of the great bucket.
That's true.
As a great man once said.
Is it still Ang Lee directing?
It does not say here
who wrote the script.
That's part of what made that movie so great.
Donnie Yen.
When do they shoot it?
Will star along with Michelle Yeoh.
When does it come out?
Who will be back as her character from the original film? The production begins shooting in June.
Bean's gotta know.
Which means it'll be in theaters mid to late 2015. Is that enough information, or is there more?
Mid to late. What does that mean?
Who the grips are? Who's doing the craft service?
Please.
Now look, I know you guys again are mocking like you do, but is Ang Lee directing a reasonable question when we're talking about a sequel to this movie? Because that's part of what made the original so great was his direction.
Agreed.
Right? That I think he won an Oscar.
But
isn't
it also funny to play this?
Bean's gotta know.
No.
Yes, it is. And while we're talking about books, as we were with Flea's autobiography, how about John Cryer writing on his memoir? The guy's had a long career, 30 years in the business, in television and film. And he says he had no holds barred, which means he will give detailed stories about his life on the set of Two and a Half Men with celebrity train wreck Charlie Sheen.
Imagine working with him for that long.
Oh, the stories he has to tell. He'll be talking about Demi Moore, who he worked with in No Small Affair. That's where he made his movie debut. And, of course, his role as Ducky opposite Molly Ringwald in Pretty in Pink that made him an icon to a generation. So a lot of stories to be told there. Looks like people are writing books that I'd actually like to read.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthday is Amanda Bynes. Celebrates her 28th birthday. Happy that she's healthy and she made it to 28. She was looking dicey there.
It was rough
over the past year. Leona Lewis. I'm surprised her career wasn't bigger than it has been.
She's done better in England, but you're right. As talented as she is, I'm surprised so
beautiful,
as well here.
Talented. Yeah. She had that smash hit Bleeding Love, which I really liked, and I thought she was well on her way.
Wasn't she the first X Factor winner?
I believe she was, yes.
For those of you that aren't familiar with Bleeding Love, here's a little clip of that. Huge smash. Huge.
Still sounds like the real Slim Shady to me. Colby Smulders is 32 years old.
Yes, she is.
Adam Scott turns 41. Jenny Garth turns 42. Sebastian Bach of Skid Row is 46. Mike Ness from Social D, and of course he was also the guy who wore the wool cap in The Monkees, Mike Ness. He is 52
years
old today.
That was Nesmith.
Eddie
actually,
Murphy
different.
Is 53. David Hyde Pierce, 55.
Not the same guy.
Alec Baldwin's 56.
Similar name.
Mick Mars of Motley Crue, and of course creator of the Mars Bar. He is 58 years old today.
Not true either.
And Tony Orlando of Tony Orlando and Dawn. And sadly, we don't have time for the Schmeckfest here. But come back in
next
an hour.
Next year. We'll do it next year.
Come back in an hour. We'll play some Schmeckfest. Tony Orlando's 70 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I feel sort of like we like Rhys Darby too much.
I think he's uncomfortable when he comes in and he realizes we're so damned happy to see him. Hi, Rhys.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Just calm down.
Rhys, of course, we know as a very, very funny, popular stand-up comedian who makes funny voices and funny noises with his mouth. And also, of course, as the greatest character in the history of television, Murray on Flight of the Conchords, and a long career on TV and movies. How are you, Rhys? Welcome back, sir.
Good, good. Good to be back.
You have a new show with a terrible title that is called Short Poppies. Short Poppies. What? That has to be some colloquialism from New Zealand, right?
Yeah, it is. It doesn't roll off your tongue.
Well,
no.
We don't know.
Not happy with that?
What is it?
Makes you think, doesn't it? Short Poppies. I better check that out. That sounds interesting.
Did you settle on that one right away, or did you have a long conversation about other possibilities?
I came up with the title first.
Really?
That's how I do things.
Let's go with Short Poppies.
We really don't know, Kevin, so let's try to guess. Mm. What can Short Poppies, like I keep, in my mind, I keep rolling it over and over again trying to think, what could it even mean? Like
Poppies are...
It's a flower, right?
A flower.
But that doesn't make any sense that we'd be talking about a...
It's getting warmer. Right. We're getting warmer.
All right, we're on the right track.
Is the poppy that you're referencing in the title the flower?
Yes.
The product of the flower.
It is.
Oh, is it heroin?
It's... No. Oh. No. off track now.
No.
Sorry.
It's gotten cold.
So we're cold, right.
All right.
Yeah. So short... So the poppies are short, which means that it's a field that is easy to
to walk through.
So they're not tall. Are they not tall? They're short.
Right.
What's happening there? Why are they short? What's happening there?
Because they're being stepped on a lot?
Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
Cold?
No.
All right.
They
cold again.
Do they grow not very much as a regular function of...
No.
Of life. No, so they don't...
This is the show. This is the show. We work out every episode.
You try and figure out where...
It's a panel of people trying to figure out what the title means.
Not enough sun?
Short
poppy.
Oh, not enough sun is a good guess.
Not enough sun.
So stunted growth.
Very good. It's about a lot of people with stunted growth.
So it's a show about midgets.
All right.
I'll tell you.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we give up.
So in New Zealand, there's a thing called the tall poppy syndrome.
Okay.
Now, you probably haven't heard of it. It doesn't really happen in America. They've heard of it in Australia, the UK. What it is when if you stick your head out, you get it cut off in the community. So if you show off or if you poke your head out and say, hey, look at me, the rest of the people in that society will go, hey, calm down, mate. Who do you think is this tall poppy syndrome? So basically it happens to celebrities or people that, you know, are well known for one or another reason.
I see.
And it doesn't happen over here because if you stick your head out in this country, you know, people actually lift you up even higher and go, good on you.
Which is
weird. Yeah.
Yeah, you get 30 million followers on Instagram if you dare to stand out in this country.
Exactly. And someone said to me the other day, you have to stand out in this country because there's so many people. If you don't, you know, you've lost.
Right.
But I guess I mean, New Zealand's a smaller place, but... We're a different mentality. We're sort of laid back kind of people.
Isn't that interesting?
Did you think maybe I should pick a title that somebody outside of New Zealand understands? Did that go through your mind?
No,
never
not
did.
At all.
Never did.
I'm trying to educate America.
Okay. That's what this is about, education.
Something different.
Okay. Now, Reese, I'm fascinated by your description of the New Zealand people because you're a big-time comedian and mm-hmm. actor and star. What do they think about you with your, you know, fabulous digs and your supermodel wife in Hollywood?
I'm a tall poppy. They wanted to lop my head off, so that's why I've had to return to America.
I see. That's why you live here now?
Yeah.
But when you go back, do they give you the little bit of the stink eye because you're kind of a traitor now that you're spending half your time in the U.S.?
Well, not really. There's the odd comment, you know, the odd side mouth.
Oh, yeah, you know, right. He's on there. He is over there.
But,
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do they really look down their noses at you because you're too successful?
No, there is an element to that. It hasn't really happened to me so much, but... There is this syndrome, and this is the fascinating part. And it happens a lot in Australia. It happened to Heath Ledger a lot.
Oh, really?
Back in the day.
Because he got too popular?
Yeah. And they go, and that's just, you know, it's hard to work out here why people would do that. But that's what they do.
But that's what they
do.
They
just go, they'll throw things at you at a premiere or something. And hey,
sweet.
Yeah.
But
we
do
it in a different way. We let you get way up there and then we try to
then
knock
we tear you down.
Yeah, that's a different, you've got a different syndrome here. Right. And then you really enjoy being knocked down.
First we put you on our shoulders.
Yeah.
Yes.
And put you higher.
So it seems good.
Yes. And then we start throwing things at you and we take you right down.
And then you really enjoy the fall.
Yes.
And then here's the best thing about America. Then you actually get another chance to get back up again,
right,
and they're quite happy for you to give them another go.
But then they take you back down,
and then you're down again. So it's but that seems like a cooler way rather than us trying to we poke our heads up and then we're all right, get down, don't you dare.
That is very interesting. So this new show, if you're just joining us, we're talking to writer, actor, comedian Reese Darby here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The new show is called Short Poppies, and it is available streaming through Netflix as of today. Now, how many episodes are up for grabs?
We've got eight.
Okay.
I really stretched it out.
Yeah. How'd you take care of that many episodes?
Well, we ran out of film. But we filmed it in New Zealand with our New Zealand budget. But so what it is, it's I sent a reporter into the heartland of New Zealand to find the regular people, the ordinary folk, the ones that don't stick their heads out.
The short poppies.
The short poppies.
If you will.
And just to see how New Zealand ticks. The catch is I play all of those people.
Okay.
So it's every week I play a different character, and we find out that all the characters come from the same small town because the budget didn't stretch. I end up appearing as different characters in the background of different shots, and then it sort of transpires that they're all linked.
And by the way, I saw the second episode that I have to mention two things here. One is you don't want to see Reese as a woman.
Come
but
on.
You will. But you will.
He doesn't make a beautiful woman?
He plays two women in episode number two, is the other thing. So it's a little bit of an Orphan Black type situation where he's kind of in a scene with himself, which was kind of disorienting a little bit.
Wow.
How'd you feel about being a woman? Is this the first time you've ever done a role like that?
Loved it.
It was an experience every man should go through.
Nope.
Come on. You got to. Because not only did I get more respect during that whole week of filming, it was a really different attitude that people were dealing with me, and I felt nice about that. But also I felt the hardships of walking around in the outfits.
Sure. Yeah.
And the hair and the makeup and the shoes and
everything. Beauty is pain.
And the way I had to walk. It got to be as real as possible. So
did you have a real sexy walk?
Did you have to work that out? I don't know whether it was sexy, but it was certainly delicate.
You definitely went for it. And by the way, you've got quite a nice figure, Reese, if I do say so myself. Not that I was looking, but
thank you.
Very impressive. So you created this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why did you create the show? Because you knew that it would give you the opportunity to play a different role every week? Was that part of the draw for you?
Yeah. I had these characters in my head, and I needed to get them out. I'd done Murray Hewitt, and we were quite surprised with the success of the show internationally on a global scale. We thought it was a very New Zealand type of humor, even a Wellington type of humor, which is the city within New Zealand.
I think Murray may be one of my favorite characters of all time.
Oh, well, thank you
seriously.
Very much. Oh, that's great.
I mean,
a lot of people have said they've really dug him. Yeah. And he felt so real to them. And so I wanted to then see what other characters I could do, and I wanted to take the New Zealand kind of unique comedy and take it back to its roots, right back to where we're from, and show people over here in America New Zealand and show New Zealand characters within their own community. So because a lot of people think, oh, Lord of the Rings, they think, you know, forest gullies, they think ogres,
right?
They don't know that we have real little houses, and it's not Hobbitville.
It isn't.
No,
you mean people take that pretty seriously? They expect to run into the Hobbits.
They're really disappointed.
Yeah,
I spoke to an actress in a thing I did recently, and she said, oh, we were thinking about going to New Zealand, but we're worried about if anything went wrong medically, that we wouldn't be able to get, you know, to a hospital or anything like that.
What?
You know, it's not the island of Lost. You know, it's a regular place.
Reese Darby is here. We got to take a quick break. We're going to talk some more about Short Poppies and find out what else is going on in Reese's world. Again, you can see the show on Netflix, and you should. We'll return in a moment right here on K-Rock.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Reese, do you have Cars in New Zealand?
The movie?
No, not the movie. The actual vehicles?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
That's all right. In the show. Cars. I've tried to show a lot of that.
Okay. Good.
Transport.
This is the voice of Reese Darby here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Very popular stand-up comedian with three specials, all available out now on DVD or through iTunes. You also wrote a book, by the way. Why did I not know about or read this book? I'm very confused by this. I stay current.
How do you expect him to know why you didn't know about his book?
I can't believe you wrote a book and I didn't hear about it, Reese. This Way to Spaceship. Is it terrible?
No, it's terrible. It's good. It just didn't come out here. We didn't get the distribution book deal over here. So,
will you bring me one next time you come back?
I would love to.
Or is there an Amazon.co.nz I can buy it from?
I think you can get it on the Kindle scenario.
Kindle, okay,
yeah,
okay.
And you can get it through my website. But yeah, you know, the best thing about that book is I'm a bit of a drawer, and there's 26 personal sketches by me in there of spaceships and things.
Okay.
I think you'll really like it.
That sounds...
Way to sell it.
You know how to sell
it. I can't imagine why it didn't come out here. When you put it that way. Reese is here with his new show called Short Poppies, which is available to stream today on Netflix. So I say, screw Orange is the New Black. Who needs House of Cards? It's all about the Short Poppies. You had some friends/celebrity guests on the show. Tell us about that, Reese.
Yeah, you know, people were in town, and we gave them a call, and they said yes. So we got Stephen Merchant. He's in the first episode.
You have phones in New Zealand?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we just got them in.
You just
which
did.
Was
okay.
So lucky.
Pretty exciting.
Timing-wise.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a clip of you and Stephen Merchant in episode one. We'll set that up in a sec. But who else is coming up this season?
So we've got Sam Neill.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Carl Urban.
Okay.
You guys know him.
Sure.
Yes, absolutely. From Star Trek, yeah.
Bear Grylls. Do you know that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Of course we know Bear Grylls. Yeah.
Sure.
So, is Sam Neill? He's not New Zealand. He's not a New Zealander.
Yes, he is.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's our own. Yeah.
Because I love that movie, The Dish. It's one of my all-time favorite films. That was filmed in New Zealand, and Sam Neill was the star of that. I guess I never realized he was from there, though. He's wonderful. He's so good. Stephen Merchant is one of the great ad-libbers of all time. There's very few people better at improv than Stephen Merchant. This scene, did you write dialogue for him, or did you let him wing it a little bit?
No, this was a chance for him and I to get in a room and wing it.
Well, I've got to play a little bit of it, and it was very difficult for me to hit stop on this because I wanted to let the whole thing go. But you have to see episode one of Short Poppies to see. So you're the lifeguard. Tell the kids about Terry Poles.
Terry Poles is a lifeguard. He's a little self-obsessed. He's got great legs, and he enters himself into sexy legs competitions every year. And he's all about positivity. He gets a lot of negative flack from people,
right,
because of his self-obsession with his legs. So he has this weird technique of getting rid of negativity, where he clicks his fingers and sort of waves at people, and it's bizarre.
He's a nut job. So he goes to see Stephen Merchant's character, who is an insurance agent, and Terry is there to talk about getting some insurance for his legs.
The sexy legs competition, all right? I'm on the stage.
Yes.
I present the legs, okay? They're judged on finesse, style. Yes. I want to take it international. I want to bring the trophies home.
So you're after travel insurance?
Well, I want leg insurance.
And what are the dangers? I mean, why do you need leg insurance? I mean, what?
I'm a lifeguard. Okay, so I'm out there, I'm doing all the standards, you know, running, jumping, a lot of sea hopping.
Sharks, is that a problem?
Well, we haven't seen any sharks in the bay, but, you know, you've got...
Well, that's how they operate, isn't it, sharks? They don't make themselves known to you. They lurk, don't they? Cunning bastards, sharks. And then they pounce when you're least expecting it. So I lost my first wife.
You got to keep positive, man.
Yeah, got to keep positive. And it just goes on, and then and I don't want to give too much away, but Stephen Merchant's character, he starts inspecting your legs, and I mean, basically, he's crawling up India. I mean, it's pretty invasive.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable to do. It was odd.
And you're walking around with a Speedo, and again, I just saw, I love you, Reese. I feel like I saw too much of you in that episode one. That's all I'm saying.
Is that possible?
And Jermaine directed. He directed that episode too.
He directed that one, and another one where I'm Mary Ledbetter, the elderly woman. she gets her own ep. You probably saw a bit of her in that other one you saw.
I did. Mary is definitely cranky. She does not suffer fools gladly.
Yeah, she's you know how some of the older generation complain a lot.
Oh, sure.
Yes, that's her.
That's her.
Now, do you base all these characters on people you know, and are they getting angry?
They're sort of extensions of my own personality, mixed in with people I've met over the years.
Who's the one that your wife thinks is most like you?
Well, unfortunately, it is that Terry Poles,
who's obsessed with the
self-obsessed leg
with the
guy.
Legs.
But I don't know what. I think it's his confidence might be me.
Is that what you think it is?
I'm hoping. Yeah.
Not, what do you think she really meant by that? Because that's not what you want to hear from your wife. That's
no.
Not the,
I was hoping maybe she likes my legs.
That's
she's into it. I'm a positive guy.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
You know, well, only the paws. That's his catchphrase.
Only the paws, or only the poos, as it is often read on his shirt.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for him.
Are you having any time, before we say goodbye here, Reese, are you having any time to still do stand-up, or are you putting that on the back burner now that you're a big-time movie star?
Well, no, I'm actually embarking on a big tour very soon.
Okay.
I'm doing two shows this weekend in Santa Monica.
Oh, are you where?
Yeah, just... just by the beach there somewhere.
Okay, good.
We'll find it.
You know how to sell a show.
down by the pier. You can Google out of the venue.
Clearly, you're not worried about selling tickets.
No, these are dress rehearsals for the. I don't want too many people there.
I see.
And then and then I do the big New Zealand tour, and then I do the UK in July. And then I'm back here in August.
When you come back in August, come back in.
I'd love to.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, it's always great to see you. Things are going great for you, Reese. I'm very, very happy for you. See, Short Poppies available to stream everywhere today on Netflix. Hey, as we say goodbye to Mr. Darby, let's keep talking about the comedy, because this Saturday night, Reese, I don't know if you know about this. We probably should have invited you to be on it. But we have April Foolishness this Saturday night at the Shrine. You know that big show that we do every year for charity?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk to the comedian about a show about comedians.
We got Jim Jeffries, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Reggie Watts, Doug Benson, Eddie Iff, Taylor Williamson, all performing for us on Saturday night for charity. And we're giving away some tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. This is in the Party Bus section. You get the VIP reception with the Kevin and Bean Show, limited edition Party Bus section t-shirt. You get VIP parking. Kevin, what are we looking for this time around?
We are looking for people who have jokes. We're doing Rodney the Joke Machine. So if you have a joke, you tell the beginning, and Rodney will be able to tell you the punchline to absolutely any joke that you have.
Awesome. He knows them all. So that's give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Win your way into Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness coming up next on K-Rock. Reese Darby, ladies and gentlemen, stopping by. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:37.
All right, Rodney on the Rock.
Nope.
K-Rock.
Nope.
106.7. Just coming up next, we've got Rodney Mike Love of the Beach Boys talking about
the Kevin and Bean Show.
What happened between him and Brian Wilson?
Nope. Hey, Rodney, I'm glad you're here, though, because
we're not working together anymore. We'll get to the bottom of it. And
right, appreciate that. We're giving away a pair of tickets.
Money for David Cassidy's bail.
Okay.
So
okay.
Calm Rodney, down with the donation.
You're going to help us give away some tickets to the Party Bus section with Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness this Saturday night at the Shrine. No, that's
it's
the thing.
Is
it's not an 80s party.
I know you love the
80s.
Right. You love 80s music.
Right.
You love the 90s too?
You hate
the 90s. That's right, yeah. So I just want to warn you, because we've had some problems with you with this feature in the past. You are also a comedy expert. You know every joke in the book, right?
Marsha Brady never passed the pencil test.
So we're not talking about... We're not talking about 80s music. If people call up and they give you the setup for a joke, you, 9 times out of 10, will know the punchline, correct?
All right, Blondie.
Okay, let's play Rodney the Joke Machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine.
It is Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
He's Rodney the Joke Machine, the Joke Machine, he's Rodney.
All right. Wink, wank, bam.
Okay. Let's just take him in order here, Kevin, and see if anyone can stump Rodney. If Rodney does not know your punchline, you're not going to win anything, but if Rodney does not know your punchline, you go into the drawing to win tickets up close for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014.
If I don't win anything?
You're going to help us give him away, Rodney.
All right. All right,
let's start
Rodney
with Carly.
The Rock Show.
Hi, Carly.
Hi, guys.
Carly Simon?
No. Just, just Carly. Just
you're
listener
so
Carly.
Vain.
Carly, do you have a joke to tell Rodney? He will give you the punchline.
I do. So what did one butt cheek say to the other butt cheek?
What did one butt cheek say to the other butt cheek? I've got Pac-Man fever.
Does that make sense to you?
All right.
Why? Is it I've got Pac-Man fever, Carly?
No, it's together we can stop all this crap.
All right.
So you did not know that one, Rodney, but Carly will go into the drawing and she might win the tickets. That's how that works.
All right, let's go to Tony. Hi there.
Good morning, guys. How you doing, Rodney?
All right, Tony.
What's your joke?
All right, what do cows do at night?
Whip it. Whip it real good. All right, Devo.
Is it whip it?
No, they go to the movies.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. Wow. Jesus.
Movies.
I'm happy you didn't know that,
Rodney. Mannequin?
Why would you bring that up?
It's a movie.
Right.
But I love that movie.
Because it was in the 80s?
Kim
is that
Cattrall.
Why?
You're 0 for 2.
She's a mannequin. She comes to life.
Right. All right. Let's go.
She never passed the pencil test.
Okay, Rodney. Let's go to Tim.
Right.
Hi, Tim.
She was a mannequin. The pencil would fall
off.
Good
morning, everybody. Morning, Rodney.
All right. Tim. Is it Tim Curry?
I wish. No, so Rodney, how do you make a taco stand?
How do you make a taco stand? Take me to Funky Town. All right.
That doesn't even...
Lips Incorporated.
You take away his chair.
Right.
All right, these are especially bad jokes.
They really are terrible.
And yet, we thought Rodney knew the punchline to every joke. I don't know what's happening here, but we're 0 for 3. Let's go to Ken. Hi, Ken.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
All right.
Hello.
Is this Ken Howard?
Hey.
Okay. People are allowed to have the same names as celebrities. It doesn't mean they're that person calling, Roddy. Let's let the guy tell his joke.
Why are so hostile?
All right, Ken, what's your joke?
All right. What kind of bees make milk?
What kind of bees make milk?
Roddy, all right?
Come on, Roddy.
This must be a particularly funny one, Ken.
Roddy might actually know this one.
B-52s.
Come on.
It has the word B in it, but that doesn't make any sense.
Ken, what's the answer?
Boobies.
All right.
See, there you go.
I like boobies.
All right.
That's a good joke. All right, so 0-4. We've only got time for a couple more. We're trying to
mannequin.
Trying to stump Rodney here. Tickets for the party bus. Who's next?
Let's go to Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, guys.
What's your joke for Rodney?
Why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
All right, the monkeys. I know. I used to be on the monkeys.
Right, but that's...
I was Davy Jones stand-in.
That's not what he's talking about here. The joke was, why did the monkey fall out of the tree, Rodney?
Peter Tork.
Okay, he's a monkey in the band, but that's not what we're talking about. Is it Peter Tork?
The show got canceled.
No, because he was dead.
Is that a Davy Jones joke? I don't like that.
Yeah, that's a Davy Jones joke.
Davy Jones was a friend of mine.
All right.
One more. Let's go to Jenny, a final attempt to stump Rodney. So far, everybody's in the drawing to win the tickets.
All right. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Very poorly, actually. What's your joke?
Okay, so what's the difference between a girl and a cell phone?
Girl and a cell phone.
Difference between a girl and a cell phone. Get one right, Rodney.
She blinded me with science. Science.
Is that the answer, Jenny?
No, it's not. It says you can put a cell phone on silent.
Oh, I like it.
It's a good joke.
Okay,
wow.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, bitches, huh?
All right, so Carly, Tony,
right,
Tim,
what
Ken,
I win.
You
Kyle,
didn't win anything.
Jenny, everybody's in the drawing. Only one can win a pair of tickets for this Saturday night's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, the Party Bus Edition. Lisa,
all
who's
right.
our winner?
Our winner's Ken.
Ken.
Yay!
Ken.
Congratulations, Ken.
Ken Howard from the White
Thank
Shadow.
You.
No. He's the why do bees make milk or what kind of bees? I don't know. I don't remember the joke. Congratulations. We will see you on Saturday night.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
He's Rodney, the joke machine. The joke machine. He's Rodney.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 7:53.
All the girls are going all gooey in the office, Ralph. Did you see that when Christopher Maloney walked in?
He's a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Talking about how manly he is and why can't we be more like him and all that kind of nonsense. Anyway, Mr. Maloney is back on TV with a new show that airs again tonight called Surviving Jack. We'll talk all about that coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Brad Pitt's company, Plan B, has bought the rights this week to the story of the Steubenville rape case. Are you familiar with this case?
No.
Yes. This was a case in Steubenville, Ohio, which takes its high school football very seriously. And there was a 16-year-old girl who was sexually assaulted at a party by two of their football players.
Oof.
And there had been accusations of an apparent cover-up by the Steubenville authorities because they didn't want their football team to be affected, if you can believe the horrific thought but it's process behind that. But there was a guy, this was the beginning of Anonymous, when Anonymous was just starting to grow on the internet, and he released their names and put the questions about police cover-ups on the internet and created a big stir in that community and on the internet in general. It led to charges and indictments. It was the first case of really the internet and this Anonymous group in particular rising up and as a hacker collective, making an impact socially, politically, and legally. So it's a fascinating story. I read a magazine article about it a couple months ago, and there's a lot going on there. So I think this could make a good movie. Brad Pitt's production company plans to turn it into a feature film.
Sounds good.
By the way, Derek Lustiger, who was the Anonymous-affiliated hacker who exposed the rape's cover-up, now faces 10 years in prison for his actions. The rapists, by the way, were sentenced to 1 year.
That's insane.
Wow.
Seems a little out of proportion, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, indeed, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know who to thank for getting President Barack Obama on Between Two Ferns, Bradley Cooper was the man who made it happen.
How did he do it?
According to Politico.com, he played a big part in boosting referrals to the Affordable Care Act website by getting Obama on Between Two Ferns. According to the story, while he was attending a state dinner in honor of French president back in January, Bradley got to talking to President Obama's senior advisor, Valerie Jarrett, and they started brainstorming on ideas about how to get the word out about Obamacare to get more people to sign up. And Cooper, apparently, at the state dinner, pulled his cell phone out right there, got Galifianakis on the line and put him on speaker, and they hashed out the plans to get the president on Between Two Ferns right there at the event at the White House.
Huh. It's kind of pull Bradley Cooper has.
Yeah. No kidding. Wow.
Oh, you want to get some people to sign up for Obamacare? Okay, let me get your boy on Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. Let me make that happen.
Wow.
Boom. That just happened.
It is weird. It seems like when I was growing up, the president was pretty insulated from the people. And now Jimmy Kimmel's hanging out with President Clinton and Zach Galifianakis is hanging out with President Obama. It's just weird.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
I don't feel like comedians could get to the president. You didn't see Nixon sitting down with Johnny Carson, you know?
Although Nixon appeared on Laugh-In.
Right.
I mean, there was a lot of pop culture with there's history of pop culture presidential crossovers.
But it also seems like a lot of them couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle the comedy of...
A lot of them didn't have senses of humor about themselves.
Right.
But I mean, I think back to Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan and the first President Bush. It doesn't seem like they ever went on any of these shows or were ever interviewed by comedians. You know what I mean? It's just, we're definitely living in a different age.
Yeah. And Matt Lauer and Al Roker, it has officially been announced, will indeed film a cameo for Sharknado 2. See, I don't remember Walter Cronkite ever being in Sharknado 2.
Yeah.
We live in a different time.
We sure do.
Yeah. They showed some outtakes of them filming with a green blob, which apparently will be used for the special effects shark once they CGI it in and stuff. So I'm guessing they get eaten.
Okay. All right. I like it.
That's what happens with Sharknado. You get eaten, pretty much.
Hey, spoiler alert, dude. I haven't seen it yet.
And how do you think Al Roker would react to that?
My guess is...
I pooped my pants.
That's what I'm guessing, too. I think he would. And Natalie Dormer. You know Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones?
Totally.
Yep.
She was in The Tudors, too.
Yeah, she played Anne Boleyn, right?
Yep.
In The Tudors. She's just on a topless photo spread for April's GQ magazine.
All right.
I have to say I voted yes on that in the last election.
I didn't realize that was on the ballot.
Yeah. She's also going to be in the upcoming two-part Hunger Games finale. She had to shave off half her hair for that role. You can see that as well in the photos, but that's not really the main attraction.
No.
As I look at them. Oh, look at her hair. It didn't dawn on me once.
Her stupid hand bra is the main attraction. Just saying, put your hands down, ladies. Come on.
Jeez.
What are you hiding?
Why do women hate Bean?
I don't know.
Maybe because he's creepy?
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Yeah, a little bit. Today's celebrity birthdays. Amanda Bynes is 28 years old today. Amanda Bynes is 28 today. Leona Lewis is 29. Kobe Smulders is 32. Adam Scott is 41. Jenny Garth of Beverly Hills 90210 fame is 42. Sebastian Bach, 46 today. Mike Ness of Social D is 52. Eddie Murphy. He's 53 years old. David Hyde Pierce is 55. Alec Baldwin turns 56. And Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 58 years old today. He is a spry 58, though, man. He looks half his age, really.
He doesn't look a day over 78.
Oh, that's true.
Redskins fan. Racist? Racist? How dare you? On behalf of all of us Native Americans, how dare you, Christopher Maloney?
You're not Native American.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're very excited to say after promoting the hell out of his appearance last week when he wasn't here, this week, without even knowing it, he just shows up. Christopher Maloney is here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I came crawling to you.
The show is called Surviving Jack. It is on again tonight on the Fox Network at 9:30, which is, that's right after the American Idol. Is that right?
Yes, sir. You got it.
Oh, that's a nice time. That's a vote of confidence right there.
Yep.
Before we talk about the show, Mr. Maloney, so you are on your way to a TV appearance this morning.
I am.
because it's a waste to put this man on radio, right? This guy's got to be in front of a camera. Now, did you have a team? Did I hear that you had a team that came in and spruced you up a few minutes ago?
Yeah.
Were you getting a haircut in the other room? What's going on?
A little facial work, mani-pedi. You know, I mean, that's kind of the usual, don't you think? Nothing wrong with that. It's radio.
How different is his life than ours that he has people that are following around taking care of those needs?
Very, very different. Well, it's not that we don't need it. It's just we don't have it.
We don't have it, right. I know that Christine, our associate producer, is in there on the floor on her hands and knees looking for hair that she can clone you out of. I do know that's all I've been hearing about for a week is how dreamy you are.
I suggest she get a DNA tested and its value will go up.
So what's it like doing comedy again? I know you've done bits and pieces here and there, but now you're full-time comedy. Does that feel good?
Yeah, it really does. It's a breath of fresh air. It's just, you know, a different mindset. You know, you wake up every day and you realize your biggest worry is, let's try and find the funny. I mean, it's kind of like what you guys do, right? I mean, you know, you get in, you get to, you know, kick it around and try and find what's funny.
It beats Oz. I'll tell you that.
Well, that was funny.
That's
funny.
A whole different
focus.
If you can't
find funny in sodomy, I don't know.
Now, we're joking, but I really am kind of interested in what the mood is like on a set. Is it a 1,000,000% different being on Surviving Jack than being on SVU or Oz or something like that just because of the subject matter?
You know, that's a good question. You know, actually, it's a little bit more raucous when you're doing drama.
Because
you know, you really need a release valve. It's almost like you know, you hear about cops having gallows humor,
right?
By virtue of the stuff that they have to deal
too
with,
too much serious stuff, you gotta blow some steam.
Right You gotta find that release. And so, you know, on SVU we had some really nice crack ups and, you know, messing around.
How many years were you on SVU?
A dozen.
12
wow.
years.
Wow. And you don't ever take, I mean, you know, those ripped from the headlines cases, I got to be honest, some of those were too real for me. Like, you don't ever want to think about the kind of people who could do those kinds of crimes. Was it possible to leave that behind at the office when you went home at night?
You know, the first couple of years, it was difficult. And then all of a sudden I started having children, and that made it even more difficult because the ramifications, the reality of what these crimes and who they victimized was made even more real to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, after a couple of years, I mean, you really just have to find the way to, you know, leave it behind and, you know, just move on. You know, it's a job.
What's it like to start a new show now? Good fun?
Boy, had I forgotten how much publicity and promotion is necessary to launch these puppies. That's why I'm here. But also because I like you guys.
Yeah, like how do you cut through when there's, you know, 5 new shows debuting in, you know, a week's period and you want people to put eyeballs on yours?
I'm telling you, it ain't easy. And, you know, especially in this day and age, you know, you have so many platforms upon from which to shout. You know, watch my thing, and this is what I'm doing, you know, and it's never easy, but, you know, look, it's a lot of fun, and, you know, you just deal with the hand you're dealt, and look, in the end, it beats digging ditches.
Yeah,
right.
Do you think it's any easier for somebody like yourself who's a known quantity in television?
Yeah, I mean, it helps, you know, because there's the natural recognition factor, so you're already a couple steps ahead in the line, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, please tune in. Please watch. Give it a sample. See if you dig it. And, you know, if you're not quite sure, just give it one more. And, you know.
And then if you're still not sure, maybe another one.
Yeah. You know, guys.
Just one more for good measure after that.
Right. Yeah.
Make a quick decision.
Okay.
Sometimes.
8 episodes. That's all you have to watch. 8.
Bill Lawrence is your executive producer, who is a guy with a great track record in television. He's the guy that brought us Spin City and Scrubs and Cougar Town. I mean, he definitely has his own sense of humor, doesn't he?
Yeah. And I've known Bill, over a decade, personally and professionally.
You were on Scrubs, weren't you?
Yeah, I did an episode. Yeah, he was kind enough to invite me on there and had a lot of fun with that. And I like John C. McGinley very much.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's the best. Yeah. He's such a kook. And so, you know, I got to do that. And, you know, I recognized how good Bill was at not only starting shows and navigating shows through you know, the inner workings, but also, you know, high quality shows.
How did you get involved in this project? Did he come after you, or did you just read the script and think it was interesting?
He came after
me.
Yeah,
he wouldn't shut up, right?
I was the prettiest girl in class, boys. you know, the script came across my desk, and it was one of the funniest ones I'd read. And, you know, it wasn't a conscious decision, oh, I'm going to do comedy. But, you know, after reading it and kind of getting the character that I play, I went, you know, this is the one. This is the one.
Let's talk about your character. Now, you're a doctor.
Yep.
And your wife is a lawyer. So it's a little bit of the return to the Cosbys, right? Mm-hmm. Well, is that what they were? Doctor, well, lawyer?
Yeah, but it's my wife who has spent the prior 15 years raising our kids, and now it's her turn. You know, she wants to return and get her law degree.
And I think that's the clip that we have from the show. This is from Surviving Jack. This was from the pilot last week. Episode 2 airs tonight on Fox at 9:30, and you'll hear a little bit of Christopher Maloney's character, Jack, who has no idea what he's about to get himself into when he says, hey, I'll look after the kids.
Should I be going to law school? What if Frankie grows up and turns out to be one of those men that pays prostitutes to pee on them?
What the hell are you talking about? You've had my back for years. Now it's your turn. When I cut back my hours at the hospital, I'll be here for the kids.
Taking care of those two is harder than you think.
I take care of people with cancer. I got this.
The kids don't have cancer, Jack.
Cancer's inside everyone. It's just a matter of whether or not it metastasizes. I take you and the kids down to the lab right now. I run a test on you. You got cancer.
Worst pep talk ever.
Yeah, nice.
No. Jack is very matter of fact, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a cut and dry guy.
There you go. I suspect hilarity ensues. I suspect that Jack has no idea how tough it is to raise teenagers. That's my guess for this show.
Well, you know, but he'll never admit to that. You know, he is very confident in his view of life and how you should go about, you know, getting through it.
Right. And you make mistakes, but you're not going to admit that. You're fine with it. It seems like your character is just oblivious almost to the effect that he's having on people.
He's very secure in his viewpoint.
That's a great way to put it.
I like it.
All right. Christopher Maloney is here. We got to take a quick break. The show is called Surviving Jack. It airs tonight after Idol on Fox at 9:30. More with our guests in a moment right after this on K-Rock. Christopher Maloney in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, star of Surviving Jack on Fox tonight at 9:30 after American Idol. You were really getting into that song, Chris. You love that, didn't you?
Yeah, this is where I live. You know, Tool, Pearl Jam, you know, Red Hot Chilies. Yeah.
You shouldn't dance.
Are you suggesting whiteness is at play here, Kevin? What's happening here? So let me tell you what I learned about Surviving Jack, talking to Mr. Maloney here off air, which is, first of all, the actress that plays your wife on the show, Rachel Harris, mm-hmm. was hilarious in The Hangover. She was Ed Helms' wife in The Hangover that we all hated, right?
She played that part beautifully.
She sure
beautifully.
Did.
Yeah.
And we will not hate her on your show, though.
No, no. I mean, that's what a great actress she is. Because when I saw that one, oh, my God, keep that woman away from me. And now that I've worked with her, I said, get that woman next to me.
She's, exactly. She's and lovely. I also didn't realize that this is a true story. Your doctor character that you are playing, it's based on a true story by a guy named Justin Halpern, who wrote a book called I Suck at Girls. And he's the same guy that had the Twitter feed turned TV series called S My Dad Says. Same very funny guy.
Yeah, Justin Halpern. Yeah. And his, wow. His dad is, you know, I urge people to go online, just look up S My Dad Says or I Suck at Girls. And you'll be able to see all the great quotes that have come out of his dad's mouth.
He's funny.
Is it weird to play somebody that's very much alive? Do you get notes from them? Do you get? Are they on the set ever? Do they?
No.
Not at all.
Here's an example of his dad.
Yeah.
You know, his son goes, yeah, you want to come up and meet Chris and see his show? He goes, I'll wait till it's a hit. You know, there's a million crappy shows on TV. Why would I want to watch another one? I'll wait until it's a success.
But this show's about you, Dad. I can't imagine that. That's so
That's
bizarre.
Doesn't awesome. Care. Doesn't care.
That's weird.
Now, one thing we haven't talked about that I'm fascinated with is, why is your show not set in the present day?
Yeah, you know, it's because it's, I guess, a love letter, a memoir to his dad about his life with his dad. And, you know, that's when Justin came of age, you know, in the early 90s. And so, you know, when shoulder pads were big and music was going grunge.
And so, parents parented a little differently.
Well, you know,
or a little fewer timeouts and a little more hard love.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also think that this is what makes it so quaint, and I can't believe the 90s are now quaint. But it was before the advent of you know, the internet, the interweb,
sure.
as my children want me to call it all the time.
Right.
Grandpa, say interweb. you know, before, you, I mean, look, it's really, to me, when we walked on set, I realized, oh my God, there are two phones in the house, one in the master bedroom and one in the kitchen.
Isn't that, that hard to remember now?
And it has the loopy stringy cord that is attached to the headset. You know, it's so quaint.
So it's like walking into a time machine every day when you go to work.
It really is. Yeah.
Was it, I don't know how old your kids are, Chris, but was it radically different having to navigate your children through a world now, I guess, with the, you know, with the internet and the texting and all of that, all the pitfalls of that? I mean, would it, was it a lot easier to raise kids back then before all that technology? Was it every kid's fingertips?
You know, I think every generation likes to bitch about, oh my gosh, it's in my day.
Right, sure.
Dot, dot, dot. But, you know, I think, you know, in our day, you know, I think I still remember my mother, she couldn't wrap her head around 13-year-old children wanting to get together and having the ability via the phone to talk to each other. When, but it's homework time. What are you doing socializing? And what are these dances? I mean, all these strange, what are these strange new things you children are doing?
Right.
You were doing the Dougie or something, you know?
Yep.
So what? I'm sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
I was going to say, so tell us about the relationship between you and your TV wife, because I think it's unique in this day and age as far as TV shows go.
Yeah, I think that we don't play on the eye rolling, oh, dad doesn't know what he's doing and mom will come to the rescue. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
Or all of the it doesn't seem like all of the conflict is between you two. You seem to get along really well.
We genuinely love each other. And I think that's one of the strengths of the show. And I think actually it really helps my character, because what comes out of my character's mouth at times can be a bit harsh,
right?
But his love for his wife is undying. It's unyielding. He openly says how deeply he needs his wife, and so it really softens.
So it's science fiction. So it's fantasy. It's Peter Jackson, basically, is who's behind this.
Yeah, we had to give it a unique hook.
Well, I mean, I can hear how much you are enjoying doing the show. It sounds like the show's got a lot of laughs and a lot of heart in it, and it's not like anything else that's on TV, and it's certainly worth checking out. Now, we will disappoint you, then, if our listeners do not immediately schedule their DVRs for 9:30 tonight on Fox, right?
Please, Jesus, yes.
No, don't just set your DVR, but watch it.
Yeah. Actually watch the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. All right, so episode 2 tonight of Surviving Jack. You can still see the first episode if you want at Fox.com. So glad you got a chance to come in, man. Super fun to meet you.
Thank you very much. The pleasure is all mine.
You know, I was trying to figure out why, as busy as Dr. Drew is with all of his podcasts and his TV shows and his radio shows, why he continues to come on the Kevin Bean Show. And it occurred to me, I think I got the answer, Kevin.
What's that?
Because he can just have a regular phone call. He can just talk to people on the phone instead of herding cats like he does on the HLN show where he's trying to get eight women to shut up. This just must be so refreshing just to talk to a couple of dudes on the phone. Hey, Doc.
Well, I think you're onto something there. However, now that you mention it, I won't be coming back anymore.
Oh, how dare you? No, it is. That's got to be the hardest job in TV, is being the ringmaster for the panel of guests that you have every night on the HLN show. It's insane how many conversations you're having at once, Doctor.
It's good, but they're all really smart professionals. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, but you get the idea that there's a director someplace going, we gave him eight tonight. Let's try nine tomorrow night.
Well, the reason we wanted to have you on this week, and we always appreciate your time, Doctor, is you and I spoke briefly in person last week when we saw each other at the Corolla benefit about this crazy case of this woman up in Canada who convinced it, apparently not only her husband, not only her friends, but apparently convinced herself that she was pregnant. And not just pregnant, but pregnant with quintuplets. Tell us about pseudodesis, or whatever it's called.
Not only her husband and herself, but the entire community. They were giving her beds. She set up a nursery for five kids. She had a whole world going there where everyone believed she had quintuplets
now,
coming.
What, wow. I'm not familiar with the story. Was she just scamming people, or did she believe it?
She believed it. It's pseudocyesis or false pregnancy or hysterical pregnancy. It's actually a well-documented phenomenon. And sometimes people can actually get physical changes, including lactation, associated with pregnancy. It's crazy. I don't fully understand the syndrome. It's obviously always usually associated with other psychiatric problems, as it is clearly in this case. I mean, literally, this woman went to the hospital to deliver her quintuplets when the obstetrician had to pull the dad aside and go, no pregnancy.
Wow.
No babies.
But here's what I don't understand. So she had gone and she had been stringing along her husband, whether she was doing it on purpose or not, we don't know fully. But by all accounts, she really did believe she was pregnant. She came home from the hospital and said, honey, I'm pregnant. And then a month later, honey, it's twins. It's triplets. And every time she went, she came back and told the husband that she had another baby. But doesn't that indicate that she would be getting that from somewhere? Like, what, she clearly wasn't getting ultrasounds and being read the results, because those would have shown nothing, right?
Right. So she's getting from, well, it's hard to know how much was a lie and how much was delusion, how much was, you know, wishful thinking. She had had a false twin pregnancy before, by the way.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, and so she is, you know, someone with serious, serious problems. And why, you know, why the husband fell for it is what's really even more interesting. I mean, he almost look at him and go, oof, what's going on with that?
Yeah, like, why didn't he want to see any of those ultrasounds?
Or why didn't he go to any of the obstetrician visits with her? She pulled it off. I mean, obviously a very manipulative person, but
But wait, let me say again, she's not manipulative if she believes it.
Well, that's what I was going to say, these people that have this pseudocyesis or false pregnancy do believe it. They believe it to the point that their body has changes. And if you look at her, she was kind of a big person, and she was having all kinds of good, interesting changes. And what's also bizarre is that other mammals have been reported to have similar, like dogs.
What?
Cats have pseudo-pregnancies. Isn't that weird?
Is this at all related to what we hear about sometimes with husbands who gain weight when their wives are pregnant, or husbands who have abdominal pain?
I imagine it must be related somehow, because it is kind of a similar syndrome, isn't it? But people don't associate them in any kind of causational way.
Now, let me ask you about this, doctor, because I am fascinated with the power of the human mind. You talked about the physical changes this woman in Canada have. She apparently gained weight, and you said she's a big person, but I mean, she gained weight kind of in the right area for a woman who was pregnant.
Right.
She was lactating, as you mentioned. She also was experiencing morning sickness. I guess my question to you is, if you believe something enough, can your mind make your body do those things?
To some extent. You know, the mind-body connection is pretty intense and pretty amazing, and some people, for whatever reason, can activate some of the endocrinological and hypothalamic pituitary changes that are associated with something like a pregnancy.
Can her mind put babies in her belly?
She can make babies happen. Maybe she may know where the Flight 370 is, but she can't give herself birth.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was such an amazing story. We actually covered it on HLN. It's such a crazy story, and we showed pictures in the nursery. The husband was doing interviews. Since then, the husband, I believe, has left, if I remember right.
I would imagine the husband, those interviews didn't go well, because everybody's question had to be, what are you, an idiot?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And but the whole community felt, you know, really angry.
Because they're donating cribs and toys and money and everything else. And this must have been a big story to break through the wall on CNN that is, you know, all stories having to do with the airplane. I mean, if something's not the Malaysian flight, it's pretty rare to get on the air.
To be fair, it was HLN that covered it. CNN did not.
Okay,
CNN
good.
Was busy with the airplane.
Dr. Drew, we were talking yesterday to Bean about the fact that it is the first thing that he checks every morning and the last thing that he checks every night. Is information on that
you're
plane?
One of those people?
Yeah,
I am. I am.
You're the reason CNN is covering nothing else.
Yes.
Although I'm not watching much of it on TV. I'm really, it's mostly just internet, because I can get in and out. If there's nothing new, there's nothing new. I can move on to other. I'm still interested in other stories too. That's the difference between me and CNN. Is I'm, you know, that's it's so part of my life. It's not my whole life.
They're alive, landed on a desert island somewhere.
Let me ask you,
let me just add one last thing. Ralph did bring up the point that if they find the plane, they will make that information available to you. You're not going to have to search for that, Bean.
Have you ever heard, doctor, is there anything to, we're talking about, you know, the power of the human mind here. If you're one of those people who every day is convinced that you're going to get cancer, for instance, do you think that something can happen in your body that can give you cancer?
There really is no good evidence that that's true. And unfortunately, the positive thinking about cancer, you know, curing cancer once you have it, isn't really standing up to good scientific scrutiny right now. Though people do better in terms of their quality of life and whatnot, actual outcome, it's not a lot different with positive thinking. However, you know, the brain and the immune system developmentally, you know, embryologically develop, they're the same. They come from the same place. and they're clearly deeply connected, you know, what our brain is doing, what our immune system is doing. And if indeed it is the case, as it seems to be, that a lot of cancers are sort of misfires by the immune system, I mean, one theory is we form cancers all the time and the immune system cleans them up, then there must be something to that. You know, you need your immune system. Obviously, we need our immune system functioning well to stay well. And if we're having excessive stress or, you know, extreme, you know, really extreme stress, the nervous system will affect the immunological system.
Isn't it funny how much we know about the brain and yet how much we don't know? There's so much more.
We're just getting started.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Great stuff, as always. Dr. Loveline, Thursdays, Sundays through Thursdays with Mike Catherwood here on KROQ, and then Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Friday at 6, and then drdrew.com and podcast1.com for the Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast, and the Mike and Dr. Drew podcast. Thanks so much for the time. We'll do it again next week.
See you guys.
That, of course, is the new song by Black Keys, and of course it is called Fever.
Of course.
Oh, now you know it.
Which everybody knows.
I got the fever.
Now you know it. Hey, is she here yet, Ralph?
I'm not sure.
Don't be
not my job.
I'm
creepy.
Not being creepy at all. I'm excited about our guest.
Right, but I'm saying don't be creepy.
Why is it creepy to ask if our guest is here
yet? I don't
know.
It's just the way you say
Tell
it.
Tell us. Why are you creepy? We don't
I'm
know
not
why
creepy.
You're creepy.
There's nothing. I'm delighted that Miss Gillen is going to be joining us. She's Oculus. She's Doctor Who. She's Guardians of the Galaxy. She's all things wonderful. And she's going to be in our studio coming up right after the top of the
rest of
hour.
Us could have asked if she was here and it would have been fine. Right. Mm-hmm. Not you.
I think that's you reading yet? Something into it that's not there.
Is she here yet?
I just said it.
creepy alert.
First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. What's happening?
Silence! It's like we were talking about Natalie Dormer last hour, about her GQ spread. You're like, here's that hand, bro. Drop your hands. Let me see them.
Drop your hands, ladies.
Let me see your boobs.
Okay, that was creepy. That was creepy.
Thank you.
I accept that was creepy. But is she here yet about
You're
Karen is not creepy.
All over the place. You know what? When you walk in the room, what's that smell? Creepy! Yeah. I swear to God, out of your pores.
I swear to God, I've been with Bean many times when this has happened. We're on an elevator, and a girl gets on. That girl instantly has a reaction of hatred toward Bean. Nothing can be said.
Inches away at the other side of the elevator.
She just can tell he's a guy that needs to be avoided.
Yep. Creepy.
Creepy.
So, am I going to see some jugs, or am I wasting my time here?
See, that's Bean. That's Bean.
That's how I proposed to my wife, by the way.
I have passes to give you, my people. Passes to the premiere of Transcendence.
Yay!
This film looks amazing. It's in theaters everywhere. Friday, April the 18th. But you'll get to see it not only early on Thursday, April the 10th, but at the premiere.
Right.
At the Westwood Bruin Theater. Transcendence, of course, an amazing cast. You got Paul Bettany, Morgan Freeman, Rebecca Hall, and topping it all off, the brilliantly talented Johnny Depp, one of my favorite actors on the planet. Story is about a scientist who's dying, and so he downloads his mind into a computer. Seems like a good idea at the time to preserve his consciousness inside a computer, but once he starts absorbing the power and the information available to him, he becomes unstoppable. And as we all know, absolute power corrupts.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You want to go see it? Well, I'm going to give it to a real Johnny Depp fan. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067, with the answer to this trivia question. Johnny has a long-standing, lengthy body of work and relationship with his good friend Tim Burton.
Correct. True.
That is true, Kevin. That's
we not. Have a winner, believe it
no,
or not.
I got it. I got it. I got it right. And I'm going to the preview, the premiere, whatever we're calling it.
That's not the question. The question is, what was their first collaboration? What was the first film that Johnny Depp and Tim Burton worked on together? If you know the answer, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. You get passes to see Transcendence. All right. Looks like the consciously uncoupled Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin are officially consciously uncoupled now because their breakup moon is over. They have both returned.
I don't understand any of these words.
From their tiny island hideaway in the Bahamas, they've returned, and now they're going their consciously separate ways. Chris will be on the road promoting Coldplay's new album, Ghost Stories. He's also going to be a presenter at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next week when he inducts Peter Gabriel. As for what Gwyneth will do, I'm sure she will go around pointing her finger, telling you she's better than you. Apparently that's what she did with Chris, which drove him away. Sources close to the couple say they battled about everything, from how to parent the children. Oh, can you imagine?
Ugh.
She should be given free range kale and put into a Skinner box until her eyes glow red.
I want to send her to school.
How about that? How's that enough for an option? They also fought on what city to live in. That's sort of basic.
Sure.
But most importantly, Gwyneth frequently and openly mocked Chris for his eating habits. He didn't eat the right things for her. And so that got old, I'm guessing, after a while.
I'm guessing that got old the first time.
How much lemon juice and kale can you eat before you say, you know what? I think I'll go out for a steak. And then she... shrieking like a harpy. Like one of the characters from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. You just, blech, blech.
Yep.
Blech.
Yep.
Everything.
Yep.
About her.
Yep.
New York City's Bergdorf Goodman's department store is terrified of Beyonce.
Really?
Terrified. She stopped by the store Tuesday to shop for handbags. Particularly, she wanted a Fendi fur bag. And the New York Post talked to some members of the staff there that says, everyone at Bergdorf Goodman's gets jittery when Beyonce enters the store. Why?
Just because she's a big celebrity?
Because she has a history of having people fired, Kevin.
She gets people fired?
Yes. Last year, a young saleswoman allegedly lost it when she met Beyonce in the fine jewelry department, posting a photo on Twitter. Beyonce complained to management that her privacy was violated, and that clerk was instantly dismissed from her job. So do not mess with Beyonce.
I can sort of see that.
I can, and
because
I would imagine she didn't think they were going to get fired.
Well,
I heard she said off with her head.
They're lucky she didn't get
off
killed.
With her head.
Right.
It's a photo of her shopping.
I know. I agree.
She didn't take a photo of her in the can. Wasn't her in the changing room.
But it's someone who's working there.
Yeah. I mean, the store's allowed to have a policy that says don't photograph our customers and put it on the internet. I think that's fair.
There's no word on whether that policy is in place at Bergdorf Goodman's or not. Beyonce just complained and they kowtowed to a rich and famous customer. And so,
well, she is the queen of the world.
Well, she isn't. That's, I guess, my point, is that she's just a chick shopping and it's just a photograph. Everyone relax. What was more painful, the photograph of her shopping or the sales girl losing her job who has to pay rent and buy groceries?
Yeah, but again, she may not have known that. She may have just called because she wants them to have a policy.
Well,
you can, we all love Beyonce.
You can take the sides of the rich and famous, Lisa. I'll stand up for the little man. That's just me.
I don't know. I was looking for some facts, but all right.
Facts, schmacks.
That's right.
Have you seen how hot Beyonce is, Ralph? Shouldn't that be a factor?
She doesn't have a hand, brah.
Just say it.
Drop your hands. And Rob Kardashian, he's in a lot of pain, a lot of emotional pain. Well, look at his family.
Yeah, no kidding.
He tweeted on Tuesday, no one will ever understand how much it hurts.
What?
And then no one knows.
Oh, nobody knows.
And then he disappeared and he stopped tweeting and everyone got very scared. But some people think it's because his ex-girlfriend Rita Ora is now gushing about her new romance in a magazine interview this week.
Yeah, nobody knows that pain.
Right. And he's also gained 60 pounds.
Ooh.
So that might be part of it.
Wow.
The only thing we've heard or seen of Rob Kardashian since that cryptic tweet was an April Fool's suggestion he put up on Twitter. April Fool's prank. Replace all the sugar in your house with cocaine.
Hey.
All right.
Hey.
All right. I'll do that. I'll get
that
right on that.
Funny.
We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I believe Adam on line 8 was the first person through with the correct answer. Adam?
Yeah.
What was the first collaboration with Tim Burton and Johnny Depp?
Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands, indeed. Congratulations. You're going to go to the premiere. We're going to give you the tickets. Hold on. Also, congratulations to Rose and to Steve. I thought we had 5 pair to give away, but maybe that's all we're giving out now because we don't like these other people.
I think we don't like the other people.
I think that's what it is. Uh-huh. Today's celebrity birthdays. I'm out of time. I have no time. Look it up yourself. And sadly, we won't have time to get to Schmeckfest, but next hour.
Too bad.
Schmeckfest. Kevin and Bean and Tony Orlando.
Yeah, we'll get right to that.
Sing the theme to Schmeckfest. I'm Ralph Garman. I walked.
All right, it's time for us to officially geek out, ladies and gentlemen. 5 years on Doctor Who. She's got the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy movie coming out. And even before then, a week from Friday, Oculus in theaters. Ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful, the talented Karen Gillan joins us.
Oh,
Hello.
Hey, Karen. How are you, my dear?
Thanks for the morning applause.
Well, we're very excited to see you. This is a big thrill for
us. Thank you for having me.
How the heck are you? This has been a busy time for you out promoting Oculus, it looks like. You've been everywhere.
Yeah, we're promoting our film Oculus, and it's really exciting. It comes out on the 11th of April, and we're really looking forward to it.
Kevin, listen to this. And I didn't know this until Karen tweeted it this morning. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, how often do you see that?
Only when one person weighs in and is 100%.
Rave reviews for this. And this is, I mean, it's tough to make a horror movie that everybody likes because people have their kind that they like. And for some people, you know, it's too gory or too scary or too dark or too something. But yours seems to be hitting all the right buttons.
It seems that way. Fingers crossed it stays that way. But I'm a bit of a horror fan myself.
Are you?
And I feel like it really ticks all the boxes. It has the gore of all the slasher films, but it's also a slow burn and it's really character driven, which made me really happy.
Do you find, like I do, because I like the genre as well, that it's so easy to set up scary movies, but it's really hard to pay them off?
Oh,
like, there's
completely.
A lot of times when you get to the end, you go, oh, come on.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's very easy to make a horror film in the sense if it's a process of elimination. You have a group of teenagers and they get knocked off one by one. But this is like a slow burn and you really earn each scare and you're invested enough to care when something bad happens to the characters.
So the mirror is a killer.
Essentially, yeah.
Hey, spoiler alert,
that
Kevin.
Be the tagline for the film.
The mirror is the killer.
This is a really potentially dumb question, but I don't know anything about how movies are made. Is it tough to film a lot around a mirror because of what it might accidentally show that you don't want it to?
Absolutely. The poor cameraman had the worst job ever because they could just see themselves the entire time.
I can still see you in the, mirror.
I don't know why. I got really used to just acting off an inanimate object. I really felt something towards it.
Now, I've seen this trailer a few times, and it seems like, so you're in it with a younger version of yourself. At the same time, you guys are oftentimes playing in the same scene together, right?
I mean, we never had any sort of direct interaction, but yeah, we were in the same scenes, which was really cool, actually. And she shot most of her stuff before me, so I would just go down to set and watch what she was doing, and she kind of has to take all the credit for establishing the character, and I kind of just expanded on that.
Wow, that's a weird way to shoot a movie.
So she did a good job of being you then.
She did an excellent
job. Or you did a good job of being her, I guess
mean,
is what it sounds
that's
like.
That's more accurate, yeah.
You are playing an American in the movie?
Yeah. And you know what? It's really funny because my favorite word in an American accent is mirror. Because like you make it one syllable rather than two.
Yeah.
Mirror.
Is it easy to do the English accent? It seems to. I mean, American accent?
Yeah. I feel like we're really saturated with American entertainment in the UK. I mean, just movies, TV, constant stuff. So I feel like it wasn't totally unfamiliar to me. And I used to play Barbies in an American accent. Which I now realize is weird.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait,
I know.
As a kid, you would play with Barbies?
Yeah, I was like, hey, Ken.
And you would do it in an American accent.
Yeah, I only just realized that.
Okay,
that's
a little
weird.
Nutty.
But imagine Barbies in a sort of quaint English accent. It just doesn't work.
Well, okay.
Because Barbie is so American, that's why.
She's a Cali girl, right?
Yeah. Karen is from Inverness, Kevin, where you and I went all those years ago to broadcast live, remember?
We were looking for the Loch Ness Monster, I believe.
Yeah,
did
we did like
it?
Of course not.
Sadly, we did not know.
However, we did take firearms out onto the lake and shot guns into the water. That
sounds
happened.
Like another day.
That's a good idea. What could go wrong with that?
We did, I think, a week of shows from up there, Karen. This was a long time ago.
Wow, I can't believe you've been to Inverschnecky. That's what we call it.
Inverschnecky.
Back when the station would pay for us to go places, we used to travel a lot. So we went, and I remember we just fell in love with Scotland. I mean, it's so beautiful there.
Yeah.
And we actually got to stay in one of those castles that they kind of rent out for
really?
For tourists and stuff, and that was super fun. And I do remember we did try haggis. Remember, Kevin? We tried haggis.
Yeah.
How was it? Did you like it?
It was every
ass.
Bit as bad as we expected it to be.
It was ass.
Does anyone like it when they
nobody
first...
likes it.
I love
you
haggis.
You don't love it.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you don't.
I would like to think it's an acquired taste.
It is an acquired taste, for sure.
I wondered if you literally do, like lutefisk for the Scandinavians, you have to grow up with it. If you don't try it early and often, you're never going to develop a taste for it, I would think.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But I can't drink whiskey, so there's that.
You can't drink whiskey.
I keep drying.
Huh.
That's weird.
It is really weird.
You're a strange person.
Yeah.
We Barbie, American accent. What's going on here?
No whiskey.
We just loved Inverness, though. But do you still live in that part of the world, or are you now like Hollywood or London or something?
I mean, I don't really know where I'm based. I guess technically I'm based in America right now, but who knows where I'm going to end up. I don't know. But all of my family are in Inverness, and all of my friends from school are still there. So I like to go back there.
When you say you don't know where home is that just because you move from place to place when you're doing a project?
Yeah, I'm just going where work takes me. But I guess technically I'm based in Los Angeles for the time
being. Gotcha. Karen Gillis here on the Kevin Bean Show. Again, we're talking about Oculus. It opens up a week from tomorrow. By the way, one of the promotional appearances you did recently, you had a marriage proposal.
Yes.
Tell me about that, because that's not what you expected.
It really wasn't. It was the most exciting thing I've seen in a long time. And I mean, gosh, he was so brave, and he just got down on one knee and asked her to marry him. And we were doing a photo op, me and Matt Smith from Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. And we were so excited for them, but then the ring didn't fit her finger, and there was just like a slightly awkward moment, but then we were like, who cares, it doesn't matter, you can buy one.
So this is at a convention where people get to have their photo taken with you guys,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
So you think it's going to be another 30 seconds of small talk, and then all of a sudden he just drops down to one knee and just pops the question, and just you guys are there for it, I guess, forever in their memory.
It was a huge honor. I mean, my God, that's like a monumental moment in their
life.
Did
he turn and go, unless you're interested, Karen?
No, they didn't even notice we were there, which was actually lovely.
All right, we'll talk more Oculus with our guest, and of course a little bit about the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which we're so excited about. Karen Gillan's here on the Kevin Bean Show. We'll be right back on. It's one of those days where it's kind of fun to have this job. We had the great William H. Macy on the program earlier this morning. Christopher Maloney was on the show earlier this morning. And we saved the best for last because actress Karen Gillan in studio with us now, star of Oculus, opening up in theaters everywhere next Friday. Dave the King of Mexico, you big pussy.
Hey, that's not nice.
You love Karen. You saw this trailer. You said, nope, I'm out.
I barely
what
saw this
happened?
Trailer. He doesn't even look at the trailer. He's just scared.
Why are you scared?
I do not watch horror movies. So this is one film that I will not watch.
But why do I tell you that it's going to be okay?
Yeah, so she knows.
Like, listen, I can tell you that.
Just based on the trailer, whenever there's video cameras and mirrors and scary music and you see demons and you eat a light bulb, like, that's not good.
She doesn't know it's a light bulb at first.
Whatever.
Yeah,
she's eating
it. I thought it was an apple.
It was an apple. Yeah, but blood's coming out of her mouth. Like, dude, I don't want to see that.
But Dave, you could see that she's here. You could see that she's here in front of you.
She's
healthy.
Fine.
She's happy. She survived.
Look, I don't think that is a real person. But you know, I'm going to be in a dark theater. You know, I don't want to be like scared. You know,
you can take a friend.
You're such a baby.
I am a baby. But by saying this is scary, it's not saying that it's going to be good because I don't want to see it.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
the scariest he doesn't want to see. So that's actually a compliment in reverse.
Well, apparently there was like a medium that came in to watch it, and she couldn't hack it.
Is that really?
Yeah. So I was like, oh, we've done something good.
Maybe it was the kids in the movie.
She talks to dead people on a daily basis.
That's a weak-ass medium.
Yeah.
That's not strong.
Whenever there's kids in a horror movie, it's never good.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I mean, the movie's good.
Agreed.
It's too scary for me.
It's
so
perturbing.
Kids are
children.
Creepy, for sure.
Kids are so weird.
So I hope everyone enjoys it, and let me know how it ends.
So Oculus is coming out on Friday, April the 11th. You have already shot your role in Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, this is hopefully the next big Marvel franchise. I mean, I know there's a lot of pressure, you know, to make it big, but it sounds like a wonderful project. I can't believe the people you're in this movie with.
I can't either. I can't believe the company I was around. I was just like, why am I here?
Bradley Cooper, Lee Pace, Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Vin Diesel, Benicio Del Toro, John C. Reilly, Glenn Close, Jimin Hansu. I mean, the list is just insane. Who is Nebula, though? Is that a name I should know?
Yeah, hopefully you will come to know her. She is the female villain of the film, so I got to play a bad guy. And she's pretty much just a sadist, and she gets a lot of enjoyment out of what she does, and what she does is very bad.
Now, you said a couple of months working on fighting scenes and learning.
Yeah, so I started off looking like spaghetti trying to fight, and then 2 months later, I just looked like
strained.
Yeah, just like
a little bit stronger spaghetti, but still
exactly.
Spaghetti.
Yeah, I mean, still spaghetti.
And
so
you fight who? Zoe Saldana?
Zoe Saldana and I had a little tiff. And various other things, actually. It was quite a physical role, which was really exciting for me. I've never really done anything like that before.
Oh, interesting. Now, when you were done filming, you have two choices to make. One is you can go, I'm in the best shape of my life, and this is the way I'm going to live.
Mm.
Or two is, I can't wait to give up and go back to the way I was before I had to get fit.
I started to eat spaghetti straight away, actually. All right. So, yeah, and just kind of continued on that path. So gone were the protein shakes.
did you learn movie fighting or fighting?
Real fighting, really? To begin with. Yeah. Yeah, like real punches and kicks. And then came the movie fighting, which was kind of really elaborate choreography.
Right.
Did you expect, I don't know when you first started getting into science fiction, but did you expect that you were going to do so many roles in this genre when you started out as an actress?
No, I had no idea. It was never something I actually planned or thought about. And I wasn't a huge sci-fi fan either, so my introduction to the world of Doctor Who, for instance, was actually being in it. And now I'm a fan of it before anything.
You knew about it. But...
Of course I knew about it, because everyone in the UK knows about it. It's like a national institution over there.
Yeah, you grew up with it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's weird. You're just, like, born knowing what a Dalek is or something, which is the enemy.
But that has to be a little frightening, though, to join something that is a national treasure.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to ruin it, right?
Well, yeah, that's it. Like, people are very protective over it, and you know, it's already established. You're not establishing it for the first time, and people are just like, what are you going to do with it? But I was 21 and totally fearless. I was, like, blindly optimistic. I was like, this is going to be great.
You didn't realize that you should have been scared out of your
mind. I didn't realize the weight of it. Now, if it was not, I would be way more scared.
Yeah,
and getting on a show like that, I mean, in the UK, that changes your life overnight, right?
Yeah, literally overnight. That's the craziest thing about it. So before you've even shot a scene, you're in the newspapers and they're sort of commenting on you and trying to find out who you're dating and all of those things.
Did you get people guessing on what a good or bad choice you were for the role?
I mean,
because that happens a lot here.
So I learned the lesson of don't Google yourself very early
yes,
on.
Yes, that's important. It's very important.
And people were very, I mean, they had strong opinions on the matter.
You're like, you don't even know me.
I was like, you haven't even seen me talk.
Was it a sad day for you to leave Doctor Who?
One of the saddest days of my life. It was one of the most difficult decisions I made, but it felt right. And I think you just have to leave on a high. You don't want to outstay your welcome. And also, it's the nature of the show change, and that's it's been going for 50 years.
Right, exactly. Karen Gillan in studio with us. Oculus is Friday. Guardians of the Galaxy is supposed to be coming out in August. That's what they're speculating on right now.
Oculus is a week from Friday.
A week from Friday, yes. I apologize. And then Guardians in August.
Guardians, 1st of August.
Yes. Woo! And then you've also got another movie, because I don't know when we'll see you again, that you've made for TV that has the worst title ever, and that is...
Selfie!
Because it's the worst thing ever.
You must be talking about Selfie.
Selfie, yes. Now, if it's 2 hours of watching you take photos of yourself, maybe that I'm into that, but I doubt that's what it is. How is there a movie called Selfie? It has to be better than the song called Selfie, right?
Oh, by the way, listening to that while we filmed it, definitely by the Chainsmokers.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
sure.
Let me take a selfie. Please play that. Is that real?
No. We will not.
Okay, fine.
Goes on though, Karen?
Okay, so it's basically a modern retelling of My Fair Lady, or Pygmalion, where it's a girl who's like really narcissistic and obsessed with social media and taking pictures of herself. And she realizes that she doesn't really have any friends in real life. So she tries to rebrand herself as a more likable person.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, we'll play some of it.
It's not even summer. What? The DJ keep on playing Summertime Sadness. After dinner in the bathroom, can we go smoke a cigarette? I really need one. But first, let me take a selfie.
There you go. That's what you get.
Thank you.
Well, you've got so much going on, and we're so happy you were able to squeeze in a few minutes to stop by the Kevin and Mitchell.
Of course.
Please come back and see us anytime you can.
I would love to.
We're big fans. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat now, here for Thursday. Ralph Garman joins us. What's going on, man?
Oh, we're geeking out. We're geeking out for Karen. We're geeking out.
Well, we love her.
Says the guy who does nothing but mock geeks 364 rest of the days of the year. Now he's all Doctor Who and geek now.
That's not true. We're very geek friendly at Comic-Con
for
2 days.
That's also when you change your spots, leopards.
We're also very geek friendly.
I'm such a geek. Oh.
We're also very geek friendly when... Hotness is involved, too. When Karen is involved, we're geeks.
When a guest is on your show, suddenly, oh, Doctor Who, I've watched all 50 years. I've been there the whole time.
I've watched all 50 years.
Oh, I don't know. How about that William Hartnell? He was good, huh? I'm a geek.
I don't believe I said any of that, but I do like her very much.
Tick. Puh? To the theh?
No. Oh.
To the tick.
There's no question about that.
All right. God bless you for owning up to it. I want to give you something, peoples.
because I love you. And I also love two sweaty men beating on each other.
Ticketmaster!
Well, yes, we will get to that in a minute. But I've got tickets to Marquez versus Alvarado. Boxing returns to the Fabulous Forum on May the 17th. At the Forum. Tickets are right now on sale. Let's see where you can get those tickets. Let me see.
Ticketmaster!
Jeez. How much more lead-in does a fella get?
We need a little more setup.
Why don't you call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 17, since it's May the 17th at the Fabulous Forum. Caller number 17 will get tickets to that very exciting fight, Marquez versus Alvarado. It's going to be a good one. I think I might go to this one.
Really?
Yeah, because I want to see the boxing at the Forum. I want to see how they set it up, because the Forum is brand new.
You box.
Newly renovated. I love the boxing.
You box. You going to call him out?
I probably will. I'll probably climb
winner.
In the ring.
Yeah.
I'll probably be in the undercard, I'm guessing. They haven't called me yet, but I'm just figuring if I show up with my cup and my gloves, they'll throw me in.
You used to be really into boxing, Ralph. Did you? Are you doing it anymore?
I don't. I've been on a break. Haven't been boxing as much.
Yeah,
as,
me too. I've been on a break from exercise.
But Ralph used to box. Is the difference here?
That's the difference.
True.
I did
it
for years, and then you did it for none.
For never. Right.
None
Not
time.
One time.
Yeah. Things just got kind of crazy. You know, when you have kids, you're surprised how little free time you have left, and then. Work has been getting away. Got a lot of different gigs going on and stuff and everything, so it's been a little hectic. But things should calm down after we do the pilot for AMC, we're hoping.
Sort of let yourself go, I guess is what we're saying.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
But after the pilot for AMC, after we get done shooting that, I'll have a little more free time.
Kevin Bean Show is still the last priority, though, right? I mean, that's the bottom rung of the things you're interested in, though, right?
Not last.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That surprises me.
Some of the things I'm interested in less. But the Kevin and Bean
can
show.
You name any of them?
Sure.
All right.
Dung beetles. I'm less interested in dung beetles.
I meant of the Kevin things that occupy your time.
Oh,
of your jobs and obligations. We're dead last still, right?
We're
an afterthought.
Again, there's probably a few things that I'm less interested in.
Okay.
Not sure what they are right
now. Changing my oil. Changing my oil.
Sure.
You won. Swishing coconut oil in my gums.
Got that from Goop, did you?
I did. Speaking of the Gooper herself, Gwyneth Paltrow, it's official. Looks like she is officially, consciously uncoupled from her soon-to-be ex-husband, Chris Martin. They have returned from their breakup moon, no longer on the tiny island hideaway in the Bahamas where they were spending their time to celebrate their uncoupling.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
They just
it was a very strange thing, or hide from the press, more than likely. But they're back, and now they're going their consciously separate ways. So, congratulations, Chris Martin. You got over the wall. This is a little odd. This is a little Bean-esque.
Oh.
In its creepydom. James Franco has apparently tried to hook up with a teenager on Instagram.
Ruh-roh.
This story from Gawker. He met a beautiful 17-year-old Scottish girl named Lucy who was on a trip to New York City. She saw his Broadway show of Mice and Men. She took an Instagram photo with him, and he told her, "You got to tag me," so she did. And that's when the 35-year-old Franco began an Instagram flirtation later that night, including questions like, see, here's the problem. Lucy saved the screenshots of the conversation.
Oh, uncool.
Very
you shaved down
uncool.
There.
It was not that was not the question. Do you have a boyfriend?
Well, if you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
He did not say that, but she did say that I'm 17, nearly 18. And she also said, not if you're around. I don't have a boyfriend. Wink, wink. She was flirting back. When
well,
is your
I don't do guys, but if you want to, you can do me.
When is your birthday? Where are you staying? What's your number?
Wow.
Then it got more heated. Can I see you? Wrote James. What's your hotel? Should I rent a room?
Whoa.
This sounds... like, for reals, though.
Well,
it sounds like he's trying to hook up with her.
And he sent several pictures of himself proving that it was the real him, including holding up her name he wrote on a piece of paper under his face in a photograph that he sent her.
I would like to shower with you.
It surprises me, only because if she answered, when is your birthday, and she was, in fact, 17, I would have thought that would have been the last message.
Well, she did respond later in the conversation with, I'll come back when I'm 18, meaning to New York City.
I'll just be your secret lover.
This is a story my Scottish friends will never believe. Don't tell, responded James Franco.
I'm horny for you.
I just want proper evidence that it's you, and I won't. So he sent her a picture with her name written on a piece of paper under his face, proving that it was he was the one doing the texting. I gave it to you, and if you don't want to meet, text me when you do. So it was...
Is that a yes?
Stop it.
I want to wrestle everyone. You so freaking bad.
It's uncomfortable for everyone. That's what I'm saying.
I could probably teach you a few things.
Oh, he'd come on now.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
All right. That seems to be quite...
Most girls can't handle it.
That would be enough.
It will be nice. I think you will love it.
For all involved.
Did you bring condoms?
You just let that go.
Giddy up.
Where it is. Today's celebrity birthdays. Amanda Bynes is 28 years old today. Leona Lewis is 29. Kobe Smulders is 32. Adam Scott is 41. Jenny Garth turns 42. Sebastian Bach from Skid Row is 46 years old. Mike Ness from Social D turns 52. Eddie Murphy's 53. David Hyde Pierce of Frasier fame is 55. Alec Baldwin is 56 years old today. Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 58, but he's remarkably well-preserved.
He does look good.
He looks like he can practically move his joints.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
It's Dal from his last album.
That's from the last tour. He was talking to the crowd, getting them all riled up. Who wants to rock? And singer Tony Orlando is 70 years old today. Tony Orlando, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Kevin and Bean history.
Oh, hell no.
The history of the program.
How do you lie like this?
Before Bean was lying about being a Doctor Who fan and a geek, he was actually getting ready to go to Schmeckfest.
No.
Which was a big German beer festival in South Dakota.
No.
And so to celebrate, Kevin and Bean put together a big, hilarious comedy intro. About the event, and they enlisted the help of legendary singer Tony Orlando to sing with them in duet. As it is Throwback Thursday, here's a little throwback to Kevin and Bean's Schmeckfest.
Gather round, boys and girls, and listen. You know that Schmeckfest is a special time each year. Kevin and Bean will be in Freeman, South Dakota, to meet those East German chicks and drink some beer. There'll be lots of screaming men and women and children. There will be sauerkraut and knockers. Did we mention beer?
Whoa, baby!
Thank you, our special new friend Tony Orlando.
No problem.
For helping K-Rock celebrate Schmeckfest this year.
Schmeckfest!
I decided that was a terrible song.
Whoa, baby!
That wasn't us.
It was you. You know how I knew it? Because the part where you say Kevin and Bean in the song. That was probably the first giveaway.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How things have progressed.
Yeah, they've gotten worse.
Very little. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean show, we have Tim Simons, who plays Jonah on Veep.
Oh, love him!
And Veep comes back
like
tomorrow
sex,
night.
You like to travel? That's what I'm going to ask him when he's on the show.
We also have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Oh, come on.
I'm very excited about. Oh, come on to you. You're the one writing it. And we also have Patton Oswalt in the studio, who, of course, is one of the comedians. He's got a Comedy Central special, and he's one of the comedians for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, which we have tickets for tomorrow morning as well.
He's a fellow geek like me.
We've got your tickets in the party bus section tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.